we're blowing up boats that we know have narcotics on them.
Nobody knows that because nobody's proven that.
That's...
They're war crimes. Doubt? Like, I feel like if Jesus Christ came back to life right now and showed up in society, like, conservatives would kill themselves if they had to listen to this guy talk. I think Candace Owens is just going to be the poster child for uncontrolled schizophrenia in, like, 2 or 3 years when people realize she's completely lost her fucking mind. I have the most unpopular take ever that everyone hates about me for this.
Really?
There is no client list. There is no black book. All of the Epstein shit is bullshit. Well, didn't you consent to that being stolen because they stole your... because you had it in your
dorm?
I'm
not falling for your traps.
It's not a trap!
It is
it's
a trap!
Hypothetical.
You're literally trying to get me. That's incredible. Can I shake your hand? Though? Come on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't kill me. Awesome. Alright, how's it going? What's your name?
Good. My name is Nate. It's a pleasure to meet you. This is my first time debating. Just want to let you know.
Okay,
I have
cool.
an opening argument I'd like to start with.
Yeah, go for it.
The Unfuck America Tour is about identifying what responsibilities we have as individuals to keep society functioning. So I want to ask about parental responsibility. We agree the fetus is a living human organism. We also agree parents have the legal obligation to sustain their child's life once it's born, even at great inconvenience. So my question is, why does that obligation only begin after birth if the same child exists before birth? What changes morally, not physically?
It's an abortion debate.
Yeah.
Are you religious?
Yes, sir. I'm Christian.
So I think that one of the difficult things in our society, it's a difficult thing, but it's the thing that makes it great, is we have the ability for a lot of different people to live with a lot of different rule sets, but we can kind of all come together and agree on a particular set of laws, which are like our codified rules that we have to follow, right? So you don't have to legally go to church, and it's not illegal to lie to your sister, but like you can't murder people or steal things, generally speaking. So abortion is one of those issues that creeps at the very outer perimeter of acceptable disagreements, I think, because from the religious perspective, you're literally killing an innocent child. And then from the from the pro-choice perspective, you're basically the argument is you're forcing a woman to be an incubator for something that might be harmful to her for 9 months.
Can I rebuttal?
Yeah, sure. I was summarizing both sides. I'm giving my argument. Yeah, but go. Actually, no.
Well,
I was just going to say, I think the entire thing boils down to like when does a fetus gain personhood or moral consideration? I feel like reasonable minds can disagree on that. I think it's very hard to make the argument, even intuitively, that like a single-celled zygote possesses all the same personhood status and moral worthiness as an ordinary, you know, like fully grown human being or like a child or anything out of the womb. Like given like a petri dish with 10 children, would you save that or two like babies? Intuitively, most people would choose the babies. So I feel like there's healthy room for disagreement there between like pro-choice and pro-life people, such that the right should probably be protected. Go ahead. What's your...
Yeah, so I would just argue that the human is constantly developing, even past inside the womb and outside the womb. So you can't morally or like even legally justify killing inside just as you wouldn't outside. So because they're still in constant development, like they haven't even hit puberty yet. Their brain hasn't fully developed. And I would argue, I know that you can't carry like an incubator. I would argue that parents are legally required to sustain the life of their children, even when it requires sacrifice, pain, and loss of bodily autonomy, especially since consent to the act that creates a human being is consent to the responsibility for that human being, and we already enforce that after birth, so why not before birth?
Well, I would argue the obligation you have to work and provide for a child is significantly different than having something tied to your body or inside your body. Even if there is an obligation that exists, I think it's fundamentally, I would say, it's a different type of obligation for the first part. And then on the second part, I guess when we say like humans are developing throughout their lives, that's kind of true, but in a way, there's a lot of like metabolic development that happens after we die as well. But like, what is the cutoff point in your mind for when a human being like is no longer treated as a human being? Like, when does it transition from human being to corpse? What's that cutoff point for you?
Going back to what you said at the beginning of that statement, I would disagree, and I would say that the difference in degree of burden is not a difference in the kind of obligation that a parent has for their child.
I mean, I think it is, right? Like, for instance, it's we can say that, well, like, parents have an obligation to take care of their children, but the state would never compel a parent to donate a kidney to their child, right?
No, but that's completely different. The parents knew that they were, when you have sex, there's a chance that you're going to have a kid, and that...
But when you have a kid, isn't there a chance they could have kidney failure?
That is irrelevant to the fact that when you do have...
Well, how is it irrelevant? It can happen, right?
I think we're getting a little bit off topic.
Well, no, I think, I mean, I think
there's multiple strains you can go down, but I think legally and morally, we have an obligation as parents, if we choose to have kids, to help sustain them before and after.
I agree, but my argument is that fundamentally that's a different type of obligation, and you seem to think that they're just like on the same.
It's not a different type of obligation.
Yeah, but then my retort to that is you would never like demand a parent sacrifice some part of their body for a child, even legally today. That would never be the obligation. But with pregnancy, it's more.
You can't use that as a difference because they are bringing human life into the world, and they chose to do that. So you can't just use abortion as a get out of jail free card and not take that responsibility for something that they chose to happen.
Well. Okay, there's a lot. I think there's a lot of really telling language there. But going back to the thing, like if you have sex and you have protective measures, there's still the chance you can get pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing everything you can to prevent it, but you can still get pregnant. So like arguably, are you still consenting to that pregnancy happening? I mean, I think you would argue yes, there's still a chance. But then I just don't know why that wouldn't logically carry through to there's a chance your child could have kidney failure. Why shouldn't you have the obligation? Do you think a parent should have an obligation, a moral and legal obligation, to donate a kidney to their child?
I think we're just going to agree to disagree.
Wait, well, no, what do you think the answer to that question is? If your child has kidney failure, should a parent be legally compelled to donate a kidney to their child?
It was a pleasure to speak with you, but I don't think you're going to be able to answer my question.
Why can't you answer the question?
Well, because you're going off track.
I'm not off track.
It's
not okay. Hold on.
Yeah,
it's a comparison of like, I understand your argument. You're saying that there is an obligation to take care of a child once it's born. Mm-hmm. So why can't that same obligation exist before they're born? And I'm arguing that the type of obligation that you're arguing for supersedes dramatically the post-birth obligation. And you're arguing
It's consistent.
I know you keep saying that, but when I'm trying to test it with a hypothetical, you refuse to entertain the hypothetical. Like, there's no other post-birth obligation that you can give that requires you to sacrifice a part of your body for a child. Like, you wouldn't be compelled to give even blood. I think giving blood would be way less burdensome than being pregnant.
Down different routes. It's okay. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, I appreciate the conversation.
I'll let someone else have it.
Okay.
But thank you for the time.
Thank you.
I just came in here not knowing anything about you. So, and I intentionally didn't look anything up because I wanted a clean slate, give you an opportunity to make your case for to me. But I do see some of the signs you have up. You say hate fascism and then that Trump is a problem. So my question is, how do you define fascism? And then how is Trump a problem? How is Trump a fascist? I assume that's your take on that.
Sure. I mean, fascism is kind of a broad term. People use it differently. I think that like probably some of the characteristics are kind of like an authoritarian dictator. So somebody who is in favor of essentially like single party rule, somebody who wants to use the state to control like as many parts of society as possible. So that might be Trump telling Pam Bondi to persecute political opponents like he's done with Comey, Letitia James, with Bolton, who just got indicted. That might be Trump visiting Fox News or telling them to lie on his behalf like he did with the Dominion lawsuit. It might be Trump deploying the military to cities as just a show of force. So I would like argue all of these things are pretty far down the spectrum of like kind of dictator authoritarian behavior.
And how would you say that the left, which has done that in the past, whether it's Biden forcing a COVID mandate and locking everyone, Biden locked everyone down, but leftist state governors did. And Obama and the Tea Party shutting them down, trying to shut them down, using the IRS to do so. How is that any different?
Well, one, most of those didn't happen.
That's not true.
So that, well, you caught yourself wisely. A lot of Republicans like to rewrite, I'm not saying you're Republican, but a lot of people like to rewrite 2020 as Biden somehow, but you caught yourself and you remembered Trump was president in 2020 when the lockdowns happened. The governors had the power and the ability and the authority to do that, and they exercised it.
What I meant was, beyond that, Biden did continue the enforced COVID mandates.
Yeah, but I mean, it was within when it was in within his legal right to do so, he did it. And he did it for the protection of the country, right? Most, like, other countries also followed suit in ordinary ways. It's, like, very plainly obvious to see, like, what the argument is in favor of locking down to prevent the spread of disease and everything. I think it's a lot different than sending the military to a city and claiming you solved all crime in 2 days.
I agree that there's some language there that could be a little bit better when it comes to sending in 200 National Guard and saying you solved the crime crisis and
like no Democrat in my lifetime has ever, and even any Republican, nobody sent like the National Guard or the military aggressively to states like this before, right? Nobody's done this but Trump.
I don't know if that's, well, I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Nobody, but, you can't remember, but, right? I can't remember it, right?
But,
they haven't.
Right? But the fact is that there is a crime crisis, and a lot of Democrat governors aren't doing diddly squat, or mayors aren't doing diddly squat about it. You look at the Chicago mayor and basically saying we're going to just stand against Trump every step of the way, and some of these the governors, some of these mayors are actively promoting the flouting of federal law enforcement, and in from my reading of the law, that is insurrection. And Trump isn't going after them on insurrection yet. He could, but
so he
when
absolutely
you,
couldn't, to be clear. There's not an obligation. So conservatives used to be big states' rights people, but you don't have an obligation to make all of your facilities available and cooperate maximally with federal authorities.
You do not have an obligation to cooperate, but you cannot openly flout. What
By openly flout, you mean the Chicago mayor said he wasn't going to make his resources available to federal police?
No, he's giving resources to prevent the enforcement by ICE of immigration law. What he is doing, and what Gavin Newsom has done, what Karen Bass has done, is promote an environment where they are protecting illegal immigrants from prosecution, giving them an opportunity to avoid ICE, saying that ICE can't operate in public domain.
That's not true. ICE is operated publicly. They have the authority and ability to go anywhere. They just don't have to have the full cooperation of the state government or city government in doing so, which, again, conservatives used to be big on states' rights, but, I mean, that's their right as mayors and governors to say. If crime is such a big issue, and if you think crime is such a big issue, I don't understand why there aren't more people upset that Trump is totally hijacking the conversation of actually having a real talk about crime, and it's like playing games with the National Guard everywhere and having us not have that conversation.
What do you mean?
We're not having real conversations. We're not having like big boy adult conversations about crime right now. We're pretending we're 9 years old and we're sending the National Guard place, and he's saying he's fixed. You even admitted he didn't fix crime in D.C. in 2 weeks. He didn't fix crime in California or wherever else he wants to deploy, you know, his National Guard to. Like,
to be fair, in regards to D.C., it goes beyond the National Guard being used there. But as far as reports have been, the crime has been significantly reduced in D.C., whether that's because of the perception of the National Guard being there, whether that's because, to some extent, the federal government has taken over or influenced the D.C. police force to enable them to take a closer look at high crime areas, whatever the case might be. Crime is down in D.C., and that is because of Trump's efforts, whether it's in the National Guard specifically that's been doing that, or it's other elements of that policy.
If Biden or Obama would have been deploying the National Guard to different states against their will, do you think that conservatives would have supported that?
It depends on what the point was, what the purpose was.
Well, the purpose is nothing, right? It's a show of force.
That's not entirely true.
The National Guard can't make arrests. The military can't make arrests. You mentioned that he might have done other things about policing in D.C. Well, then sure, that's a conversation about policing. And obviously, Congress and the federal government has more authority in D.C. to do that. But why not have that conversation in other states and cities? Why do this goofy military thing?
Simply because leftist mayors and governors just do not want to work with President Trump.
They don't have
all.
To. First of all, Trump is supposed to be the great deal maker.
Your cities, your states are drowning in murders, rapes, and
then that's the people's
and,
right to
and,
vote
and
for
and
those
other
people.
Crime.
And the people can vote for their mayors and their governors.
And I hope they do. I hope
and they
hope
do.
California
but that doesn't give Trump
Prop 50.
But that doesn't give Trump that doesn't give Trump the right to start using the military as law enforcement.
What he has used the National Guard for is to protect and aid federal ICE officials.
From the guys
ICE.
In the dinosaur costumes?
Dinosaur costumes? Oh, you're talking about the
like,
No Kings
I don't
protesters.
Do you think it's acceptable to use the military to do law enforcement, to enforce law in the United States against
well,
citizens?
At the moment, they're not, because that you're right about being not
But
being
that's what he says, right?
Law.
He says he's deploying the military for law enforcement. Do you think that's a good thing?
The messaging, it could be better. I'll agree with that.
So he needs to message better to use the military for law enforcement.
Because what is inevitably happening is you got millions of people that actually think that Trump is trying to be a king when all he is doing is following the law.
He's not.
In putting the National Guard in places where he has every right to do so.
He doesn't.
So.
You absolutely
yes,
don't.
Does.
You need the authority and consent from the governor to do it.
The courts have struck down any attempt to disable him from using the National Guard.
They have not struck down attempts to. They just
the circuit court in California that covers California did.
They rejected TROs or preliminary injunctions, but that the case is still going to be ruled on. It's just going to take time.
Fine.
But I'm just you think that it's okay to send the military to do law enforcement? The president of the United States, if the next president is Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris, and she says, I'm going to send the military to Texas because I don't think they're enforcing their laws right, you think conservatives and you would support that?
If there was a crime crisis in Texas and Texas wasn't taking care of it themselves like they should be, absolutely.
It's a lot of qualifiers.
Well, yeah, there is, but you have plenty of examples of Democrat governors and mayors not doing their job.
That's not up to you. Who decides that? That's not up for the president to decide. These are elected officials. Why should the president get to decide if they're doing their job or not? And if he thinks they're not, what you're describing is, by the way, is a king, right? This is like one man making the decision. I don't like how you're doing your job. I'm going to send the military there to go do it for you.
Like I said,
how is that not a king?
He is acting within
Literally not.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And again, the courts will prove that point out as these cases continue to get.
There's already been stuff reversed related to the immigration stuff. The Abrego Garcia guy was ultimately brought back. A lot of the El Salvador stuff has been.
He was ultimately brought back to face human trafficking charges. He was not brought back because. He was brought back to face human trafficking charges because Trump broke the law. No, he was brought back to face human trafficking charges.
Why would we send him there if he was going to be brought back to face charges?
He could have been left in El Salvador.
Why? No, then why did he bring him back?
To face human trafficking charges in
Tennessee. Then why did he deport him in the first place?
New allegations came to light, and I think it was a smart move to bring him back to face human trafficking charges because that is a serious crime, and it goes to show what we're facing with the illegal immigration crisis.
First of all, they deported him again anyway, right? So what was the point? This guy's getting free flights all over the world at this point.
Right? They should stick him somewhere and let things, if they're going to... You know,
do you think that when Trump tells Pam Bondi to persecute political opponents,
did he really though?
He literally put it on Truth. Pam, you need to go after Letitia James. You need to go after Comey. You need to go after Bolton. Are you not aware that he's publicly stated that? That he put that on Truth Social?
I would say that that's fine. It's only going to be a problem with the courts though, because it does have that appearance.
He's literally calling for it.
It's the appearance. We all know they committed crimes. Well,
why is it all they have is the mortgage fraud stuff?
Yeah, which is funny because isn't that what she charged Trump on?
No, it's funny because the last mortgage fraud they went on, the governor, one of the Federal Reserve chairs was all bullshit. They made it up, right? And then when more documents came out,
I'm not sure that's true.
It is true, right? There's a reason why they claim they're going after these guys for big crimes. They did the same thing with Hunter Biden. They didn't get him on any Burisma stuff or whatever. The confidential informant
was during the Biden administration. If you're going to talk to me about Trump influencing justice, you have to talk about Biden influencing the Justice Department to not go after his own son. I'm not pardoning my son, and in the last minutes of his presidency, pardons his son.
Which he's been fully redeemed on, by the way, as Trump has done everything he can to put political charges against every political opponent he's had, number one. But number two, you're saying that Biden was controlling the DOJ when there was a special prosecutor appointed to investigate his documents, and when the Republican Congress was constantly investigating Hunter Biden, and when they got indictments against Hunter Biden for the gun thing and the tax thing, that was Biden directing the DOJ? No, this is not a real argument.
Lost for words for the moment. Lost my train of thought. But actually, I'm going to let someone else speak. I've been up here long enough. I appreciate it. Decent conversation.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, what's your name? How's it going?
Hi, I'm Alex. So,
how's it going, Alex?
You might have heard that there's a governor's election race going on in Virginia right now.
I've heard that.
And recently, there was a huge sort of scandal with the attorney general candidate, Jay Jones, who recently had his text messages leak in which he said he wanted to shoot the Republican Speaker of the House in Virginia. And I think this sort of underscores a broader trend of just like rancor and political violence and division in our country. We see this especially in the wake of the Charlie Kirk shooting. And I'm worried about the direction that this country has headed in with all this like violent rhetoric. Also, by the way, your son Nathaniel on Twitter told me to say hi.
Okay, hi. Speaking of violent rhetoric, I'm just kidding. The stuff that leaked from his text messages was a little crazy, but I just listened to Republicans, insist for 3 weeks that they didn't care about all of the weird Nazi messages that have leaked from multiple like staffer and political group chats from their side. So I guess private messages don't matter. And Trump has said worse stuff publicly. So I think that probably, especially if you're running for office, that type of stuff, you shouldn't be talking about your political opponent's children or anything like that. I can't be fucked to care with this administration and everything that they say openly. Yeah, you shouldn't do stuff like that, but I'm not going to, wring somebody's hands over it right now.
All
right,
but wouldn't you think that sort of kind of eliminates the possibility of dialogue when you have someone like Jay Jones who's saying, like, oh, I think it would be a great thing if this guy got shot in front of his family and his children died. Like,
Trump is saying that, like, Liz Cheney needs 11 rifles in front of her. Like, here's the thing, and it's so funny, and it's like everybody knows this, and conservatives, like, pretend otherwise. Like, if Democrats came out today and were like, all of us need to calm down, Republicans would say, you're absolutely right. You guys need to calm the fuck down. Because that's what's happened over and over again. People are acting like if Donald Trump came out and Donald Trump was like, listen, we think the whole country needs to chill out. Does he think, like, every Democratic leader wouldn't be behind him in that message? Like, Biden was able to do this, very simply. Bush was able to, like, every president, it's like a bare minimum moral standard is to be able to say we should all be less violent. And the Republicans can't bring themselves to stand on that principle. They always have to blame the other side, talk about civil war, say that their violence is righteous and the left's violence is unhinged. Like, no, I mean, like, Trump should be able to come out and say this. Like I said, the guy's text messages probably weren't okay, but I mean, like, these are private texts. Trump has said worse things in public, and I don't see Republicans doing anything right now to calm their rhetoric. So, I just don't care as much about it.
Fair enough. I mean, I guess I would just say, like, personally, I condemn all forms of political violence, and I don't necessarily align with either the Republican or the Democratic Party. One last thing. Would you be willing to debate Nick Fuentes again?
It would depend on the topic and the place. Sure.
All right. Cool. Okay.
Thanks
you.
A lot, man.
All right,
what's your name?
Jordan.
Do you go to school here?
Yeah, I do.
Is it going to get warmer? It was so warm earlier.
No, it gets colder.
What the fuck?
So last week, it was like in the upper 50s, and then it was in the 60s like 2 weeks ago, and then we just skipped 50, and then we just got stuck in 40s.
It was so warm earlier.
Yeah, it was so nice.
Okay, what do you got for me?
All right, my question is, so we've been talking a lot about our local elections that are happening right now, but essentially, my question is, like, I don't really know. After winning those local elections and getting, I guess, the country more blue, as is the goal for Unfuck America, right? What are the next steps like after that? We still have 3 more years of Trump, which is really hard to imagine because we've already like lost a lot of our like global position as the U.S. Internationally with like respect from other countries and stuff. But like, what does the next like 3 years kind of looks like if we end up succeeding in getting more seats in like the House or like more seats in the Senate? Like, are we essentially stalling for the next 3 years, or is there like anything that we can kind of do?
I don't know, man. Don't ask me those questions. It's a hard one. The a few issues is one is just defending like the House as it exists, basically.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is, like, I think your legislature wants the Republican goal is to make it so no redistricting can happen until like 2030 or whatever, to block any attempts to fight against the Republican redistricting that's going on around the country. Like, Republicans are on like a full court press, like fighting on every single level in any single way that they possibly can, besides doing their job, by the way, which they'll never do, which is why Congress has totally abdicated its responsibility for governance right now. And Mike Johnson completely does not care at all about his job there. But I mean, I think that there are like 2 big things. One is obviously, you know, resisting through any means necessary, the legal means, the creative legal means. So Democrats that are fighting to redistrict in their states, which I think is a noble endeavor. I guess there's like a hope maybe that if Trump gets old and continues to get old and is not healthy, that he can't run in the next election. If Trump was 10 years younger, he would absolutely run, and every Republican would defend it, even though they laugh and joke about it now. But I guess there's a hope that after midterms, some Republicans start to pivot away because they realize that once Trump is gone, they don't have that like cult to rally behind anymore. Now, the scary thing is, it seems like the direction they're moving is like Candace Owens and Nick Fuentes, which is really scary. Fucking weird. I think that it's blocking through whatever means legal, extra legal, or legally creative possible.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, this is not popular, and nobody's talking about this, and this is a whole other conversation, but I think there has to be some kind of, like, truth and reconciliation process after the next election, like the next presidential election. We can't just walk away from whatever these 4 years are. It hasn't even been 1 year yet.
Yeah.
And pretend that this was okay or normal. Like, everything about this administration has been such an insane joke, and it's even in the stuff that they try to do, like, it's woefully ineffective. Like, the Doge stuff, yeah. Like, we just, like, don't talk about that anymore. The Epstein stuff, like, Trump is, like, you know, trying to argue that Biden's auto-penning people, yeah. And he doesn't know what he's signing, yeah. And then, meanwhile, Trump is yeah. asked, like, why'd you just pardon the yeah. Binance guy
yeah.
or whatever? He's like,
yeah.
I don't know who
he
had
no idea who he was.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, something has to happen where there's, like, a big, like, come to Jesus moment, I guess is what you would say for the evangelicals. I don't know what that process would look like, but if it doesn't happen, then we're just going to be here again in the next 4 years when they have their next crazy guy to elect.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
I had to let my professor know I was missing class.
Oh, that's Jesus. Why I was, yeah, what class?
It's my studio for landscape architecture. It's not super okay. important. Okay, so can you ask me, do you remember that
don't
question?
Don't let him hear you say that, Jesus.
I'm sorry,
God.
What?
No, okay, don't let him hear you say that, Jesus.
Oh, no, it's important. I'm sorry.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
She said I could.
Okay.
So could you ask me that question one more time? Do you remember it?
Are you ChatGPTing this in the background?
No.
So basically the question was, you yeah. were saying that there is an obligation to take care of a child out of the womb, so yeah. there should be an obligation to take care of a child in the womb, and I was arguing that the obligation that you're talking about in the womb, that's of a different kind than out of the womb, because right. we don't rely on, like, body parts to sustain a child, even if you might rely on, like, people working.
The last question that I didn't answer at the end.
I think that was it. Like, why do you think that these aren't the same?
Because it's worth it. It's human life. When two people decide to have sex, they are consenting to being parents and to taking care of a child's life, even if it means great physical harm to themselves or possibly even dying, like you said, like giving a kidney. I think it's worth it to bring someone else into this world.
But then would you legally obligate it?
Yes.
So so if your child has, like, a kidney failure at, like, 7 years old, as an adult, you would legally have to donate your kidney to your child.
I see where you're going with this.
I agree.
Okay. In, like, a scenario like that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think most people would be on board with that. That's a position
that's
you could
that's
take.
That's okay, sure. But that's just my opinion.
The second question I asked, or it was the first one before this, was mm-hmm. like, when do you consider a person, like, dead?
When there is no more activity or any signs of life.
Well, there's still, like, signs of life. Like, stuff is happening, but, like, not every cell in your body is dead, or the bacteria are still alive inside. Like, what is there? Is there like a particular cutoff where, like, once this thing stops happening, I would consider this person dead? Like, they can't come back from this point.
Well, what would you say?
Well, I would say your brain function, conscious activity. But if I'm ending life there, I would also begin life there. So I feel like that's my, when I look at abortion, I usually say, like, I think it's around 20 to 24 weeks is, like, the brain activity for conscious experience emerges.
But you agree that life begins at conception.
I mean, there's a life, sure.
Yes, and that life is valuable.
No, I wouldn't say, not until
why is it not valuable?
Because there's no conscious experience.
Well, it's going to be a person.
Yeah, and a blueprint is going to be a building, but it's not.
That doesn't work.
It does.
Human life is special. It has a soul. It's different.
I don't believe in souls, so.
So there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect we have. So it's like, it'll probably be impossible for us to agree.
I agree with that. So, but the very opening yeah. premise I said was because of the way that our society is structured and that we have a liberal society, that there are necessarily things that we're going to agree and disagree on, and then we have to find, like, the core issues and codify them in law. And because the abortion thing runs up into this, like, very fundamental questions about, like, souls and human life at conception, I feel like there has to be space here for disagreement. But you would disagree.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So do we disagree to disagree?
I guess.
Okay.
Would you say that, I feel like there are a lot of hard bullets you have to bite if you're going to take this stance,
yeah,
though.
Run them off.
Well, so I've heard totally different numbers, anywhere from 10 to 50% of, like, pregnancies end in spontaneous abortion, miscarriage or whatever, that, like, a lot of women will have maybe, like, a very heavy period, you know, because you were pregnant, and a lot of people don't even realize that they're miscarrying. Would you mandate some type of monitoring system for people that are actively engaged in sex to make sure that somebody's not having, like, a miscarriage like that?
If you don't, like, say, like, the period blood instance, I wouldn't subject them to that because they didn't know. I'm going based off the non-aggression principle. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yeah, but that fails horribly because you have a baby inside of you that's leeching resources from your body.
It's not because you agree to morally take care of it.
Why do you agree to that?
When you consent to sex, you also consent to possibly being pregnant.
Why?
Because that's how you create life. That's, like, that's why you have sex. If you have sex, you consent to also being pregnant.
If you park your car in a bad neighborhood,
it's not the same. Car doesn't have a soul.
Well, if you park your car in a bad neighborhood, don't you consent to some possibility of a break-in?
You can't use that argument because that's different. This is human life we're talking about, not a car.
Yeah, but you're talking about consent, and a person can do everything they can to block that from happening. But even if
It's just not an argument you can use for it.
Why not?
Because it's not comparable to a human life.
Well, I'm comparing it.
I mean, that's your take. I mean,
they're
I just,
different, obviously,
I
but
just,
comparisons are for different things, not the same thing. If it was the same thing, I would be comparing the same thing to the same thing.
I just can't agree with that.
I think if you're taking, I think it's weird to use that because you're making it sound like a force of nature almost, or like a rock rolling down a hill that like you're, and you're saying
well,
the word
you
consent.
Agree that we're just animals, right? We have no souls. So, I mean, if you want to, then yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I think that word consent is being used very strangely though, to say that you're consenting to
sex
a pregnancy
and pregnancy
by having sex, even if you're using contraception.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an unpopular take.
Well, but I don't think it's unpopular. I think it's nonsense. Yeah. I don't think the word consent.
Take. That it counts for if you have to agree that if you have sex there's a chance of having a kid. Can you not?
Sure, but like I don't understand how that doesn't carry over into any other facet of life where
because we are the only beings on this planet that have souls.
No, but I'm saying like if I'm taking preventative measures for bad things happening to me in other circumstances, am I still consenting to those bad things happen if they happen to get through the preventative measures?
It's just not comparable to human life.
Why not?
Because
pretend we're just having a conversation, okay?
Yeah.
I lock my door, okay? And then somebody breaks in and steals my stuff. Would you ever say to a person, well, in a way, I mean, like, you have a house there, you know there are thieves that, like, exist in society, you're kind of consenting to somebody breaking in and stealing your stuff by having your stuff in your house.
It's not, you can't compare that.
No, I'm not comparing it. I'm just saying, just say your friends, you say that, you complain to me. Somebody broke into your dorm and they stole your Xbox 7 or whatever you guys were up to, okay? And then I say, well, you had an Xbox in your dorm, you're kind of consenting to it being stolen by having it.
No.
Why would you say no to that?
Because when you consent to having sex,
well, we're not talking about sex. I'm talking about the Xbox.
Having pregnancy.
But I'm just talking about the Xbox. When you consent to having something
comparable.
In your dorm, I'm not comparing it. I'm just talking to you about your Xbox 7. Okay. Somebody breaks into your dorm, they steal
this.
Your Xbox.
It's okay. We just disagree.
No, I just want to engage with this. We're not talking about. We're done. Okay. We're done with the abortion conversation. Right. Okay. Somebody broke into your dorm. You complained to me. They stole my Xbox, and I'm telling you, you consented to having it stolen by having it in your dorm. Somebody could feasibly break in and steal it.
That's a different comparison.
I'm not comparing it.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm just asking
you
about that.
You're trying to get me to answer that so that it
I'm just curious what your answer would be. What would you
my,
say? No, I'm not
abortion.
I'm not even comparing
yes,
anymore.
You are.
I
yes,
concede
you are.
The whole abortion debate. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm pro-life now, okay? You won that.
Let's go.
So now I'm just on the awesome. Now I'm just on the Xbox 7 thing. So somebody breaks in, they steal your Xbox, and you're complaining to me. I'm like, well, didn't you consent to that being stolen because they stole your because you had it in your
dorm?
I'm
not falling for your traps.
It's not a trap.
It is a
trap.
You're literally trying to get me.
I'm not.
Yes,
I'm saying
are.
That you're giving a very strange notion to the word consent. Your intuition.
It's not strange at all.
No, no, it's strange because your intuition pumping. Because when you consent to something, the understanding of that word intuitively, normatively, is that you're saying that, well, I accept this thing happening. But you're using consent in a very strange way because if you use contraception, you're literally saying, I don't consent. I don't
no,
want this to happen.
You
and you're
do
saying, well,
consent,
something's get
even
through.
If you do
a,
use something's,
no, but you're,
yes.
That's not consent.
Because
that's accepting
you know
the possibility
that there's a chance
of.
That you might get pregnant even if you use contraception.
Accepting, and you know there's
no.
A chance somebody will break into your house even if you lock the door. That doesn't mean you consent
you
to being burglary from.
You can't compare because human life has inherently
it's not about human
way more
life.
Value.
You're abusing the word consent.
No,
you
can, I'm not.
You're
I am not abusing it
You
at
all. Are.
No,
you're,
I'm not.
Just
you're,
because
you're undermining it.
No,
actually.
I'm
yeah,
you're
yeah,
undermining
yeah.
it. What are you talking about?
I just can't believe that you believe life begins at conception, but you're still okay with killing people.
I didn't
it's
say
incredible.
Personhood, the thing that we care about, begins at your conscious experience, because that's when you die.
I just... That's incredible. Can I shake your hand, though? Come on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't kill me. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Oh, yeah. That would look real bad at the end of an abortion argument. So, thanks. I appreciate the conversation. Any other conservative type people? It better not fucking be Israel-Palestine. Okay? They ceasefired. You guys, you college kids can't complain about that one anymore. Yeah. You got to find a new issue to march about. Unbelievable.
Oh, wonderful. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Charles. I'm a sophomore here. I wouldn't really say I identify with the Republican Party, but I
everyone
did.
Says this right before they give the most full-throated defense
oh
of Trump I've ever heard in my
well,
life.
No,
I'm just I'm fucking
no.
You. Sorry, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Thank
you wouldn't say you're a Republican. I understand.
I know a little bit about you, but I don't know all of your takes on everything. I wanted to start off by saying that I think the Republican Party has a problem focusing on issues that are very unpopular for them. I think a very good example of that is abortion. I think that it's a very pro-life stance is more, getting more and more unpopular in this country every day. I think that focusing on that issue is losing them voters. I would argue that there are unpopular issues for the Democratic Party as well that have been focused on that have partially lost voters, especially we've seen a lot of young men moving to the right recently. Do you think that the Democratic Party needs to do more? Like, I feel like events like these are good for pulling more young men towards the left. Do you think that the Democratic Party needs to do more?
Yeah, I think the issue with the Democratic Party is somehow the media apparatus got hijacked by people that don't care about winning elections. I don't know how that happened. On the right, that is the exact opposite. Everybody cares about winning elections. Even when they think they're being stolen, they still think they have to win the election. Yeah, on the left, the messaging got hijacked by people that are interested in other things, social games or whatever, which aren't necessarily bad, but it's not politics. The two big ones, I think, I just read this for your state. I can't. You guys have the wackiest governor names. It's Spansberger, and the other one is what?
Winsome Earl Sears.
Earl Sears.
Yeah.
It sounds like a tea company. Okay. Anyway, the they're like spending like half their ad budget, I think, on trans stuff. I feel like the trans issue, the Democrats need to have better talking points on this. Personally, I feel like it's pretty easy to defend transitioning for adults. I think that it's harder, but I think you can make the arguments for 14 and older or for minors having access to this treatment with a physician approved and everything. I think that the athlete argument is wacky, and that needed to be ejected like 20 years ago. It's just the dumbest thing in the universe to die on, and it just gives Republicans such an easy talking point. Make them, you know, hunt on some other ground than this the dumb trans athlete thing. It's so stupid. And then I think if we ever go back to real politics and not just obsessing over girl cock, you know, 24/7 like the Republicans want to. I feel like the gun issue, Democrats need a better approach to it. Like the obsession with the AR-15s and rifles and everything, I think are a little bit silly. But yeah, they need to figure out messaging on social issues better and to be able to kind of like push away some of the radical like social messengers on the left who don't care about winning elections. And I would say guns is a substantial larger issue they need to move on to. But our politics are so divorced from real issues right now. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I need a bigger coat. It's cold. No, I'm okay. I'll suffer. No, I'm suffering, though, okay? I am suffering.
Hi, my name is Paul.
Look, this guy's suffering. You're.
I'm warm,
yeah,
I guess. I don't know.
Cold. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Paul.
I can't
what's
give
up?
You the vigorous debate you want, but I guess there's one question I'll ask is, you always say we live in like a fuck media environment, and I totally agree. And you said earlier we need to have a come to Jesus moment. I don't see how that can happen with how the incentive structure within our current media environment's built up, like, you know, TikTok and all that. They incentivize a lot of like aggressive and out there messaging, which the Democrats, you know, doesn't really benefit from. How do you think we can move forward to turn that into political success?
I think there's a lot of different things that have to happen. One, like there are so many different levels that this has to be combated on. One is just like a cultural thing. Politics somehow infected every single fucking aspect of our life, such that like every hobby is political, every TV show is like everything is political. I think one of the downsides to this is that everybody involved in all of these topics feels like they need to have a strong political opinion on something. And, you know, like just because you watch a TV show or listen to some shitty comedian doesn't mean you also have to be like bought into this political movement. So we need to like culturally kind of push back politics from invading every single facet of, you know, our culture. I think that's really detrimental. I think that Democrats need to do a better job at like pushing through on like holding people accountable when they're engaged in behavior that is very, very bad when it comes to not doing their job in Congress, when it comes to like just telling blatant lies in the media. Like Fox News, I don't think should exist as a network after the Dominion stuff. I think that there must be some FCC action or something to where it can't be that you openly pushed a lie for an entire election season that you knew was a lie and there were no consequences for that except the $780 million payout to Dominion.
I guess my question is, we can see like the Trump polling right now. I mean, he's doing all this stuff like the killings in the ocean and then like prepping for war in Venezuela. At least it's looking like it. How, I mean, we live in a world where all of this is happening and his polling is consistent. It's flatlined, right? He's doing so much stuff and it hasn't changed at all. I mean, even if the Democrats adapt culturally, I mean, I don't see how that's going to change anything on the right.
You need to fight on, we're fighting basically for to turn out Democratic voters, and then you're kind of fighting around like independence, basically. Trump will never lose popularity with Republicans. Republicans have already shown that they are valueless ghouls that will have no values or principles around literally any possible thing. You know, like the concept of states' rights, they clearly don't care about. I'll never take another conservative seriously talking about we have guns to fight against a tyrannical government, as, you know, Trump literally abuses the government and the federal government in any way possible. The idea of, you know, we voted for no new wars, and I don't even know why, but we're gearing up to like coup the Colombian leader and go to war with Venezuela, and Trump is openly like, it's just, it's an insane joke. It's a walk back on every single conservative principle. And yeah, so Trump once Trump is gone, I think there's going to be a bit of a moment where everybody's like, oh, I didn't support that guy. Like, it's crazy. I don't even know how we went to war with Iraq. When you talk to every single person in this country, they all say they didn't support the Iraq war, which is interesting. So I don't know how that happened. So I feel like it's probably going to happen with Trump, where a lot of people are going to say, I never supported that. But there needs to be a reckoning. Like, that type of behavior just can't be acceptable. And it has to be hit at, like, every level, like the legal level, the legislative level, the cultural level. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. And I hope the video audio is unfucked this time.
It's beautiful. You can hear it. Hey, what's your name?
I'm Samuel.
What's up, Samuel?
So
do you really go by Samuel or Sam? Or
Sam is fine.
I've never heard a Samuel like introduction in my life. I've known a lot of Sams, but right. That's okay. That's cool. I like it. Okay.
Okay, I'm Sam.
Okay. No, you can be Samuel. No, you're good. You're good.
So I have a question. Would you agree that when violence is truly unnecessary, that we should avoid it?
When it's truly unnecessary?
Like, truly, there's no like real reason to have violence.
Violence should always be a last resort, I think.
Yeah. So given that every year tens of billions of animals are like raped and mutilated and tortured and slaughtered for no reason other than human enjoyment, would you say that that is necessary or not?
I don't know. Next week we're coming back with the vegan tour, anti-vegan tour, and we we could do the vegan tour. I don't think the animals are of a kind of thing that I give moral consideration to, like humans or whatever, but
so just no. Like if someone were to like kick a dog for fun, you would not have a problem with that?
I think they're being mean to the dog, but I mean my takes are edgy on this, okay? Yeah. I think if people care too much about, I think if you're a meat eater, I think that people can get too invested in like the abuse of like cats and dogs. I think it's a very hypocritical position to take. So yeah, I don't think I'm not going to stand out and say this is the worst thing in the world for people to eat meat, but that's like my sociopath position. Okay. I think if it's something that super does bother you, though, I think you should probably reconsider your dietary habits. Yeah.
Okay. But you don't personally think that animals have these moral considerations, even when it's not necessary?
I wouldn't say so. Yeah.
Okay. That's all. Okay. Thank
you. Thank you. Oh my God. Veganism and abortion are the two things I hate talking about the most.
This is perfect, actually.
Yeah,
okay.
What do you got?
So you draw the line for the moral considerations of abortion at the point of conscious experience.
Oh, sure.
But I think you could make a pretty strong argument for conscious experience in animals. Do you think that's just like a qualitative
say of a different kind of conscious experience that I can't know about. I'm humanly solipsistic. I just don't believe in their conscious experiences.
I think you just don't care about animals, personally, but...
Well, listen,
which is fine.
If there's any kind of moral truth, okay, the animals taste good for a reason, so I'm just saying it's kind of weird to put them there.
Fair enough.
For that reason. It is a hard one. My hot take is that like if lab-grown meat becomes a thing, like this is a really hot take, but I could see like animal agriculture being like the slavery topic of like the year 2150, where people look back and they're like, I can't believe they did that. Yeah. Like it would probably be the next thing.
If we had like actually strong alternatives.
If we had, yeah, like the lab-grown meat stuff or whatever, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I guess I feel like the animal consciousness position is like just a weird position of yours because like,
well,
I
just say human conscious experience. We're talking about humans, so I'm talking about human conscious experience, but
oh sure,
yeah.
I guess your approach to like understanding morals like on the animal realm is just interesting because I feel like you have your position isn't really clearly defined. I don't understand why there's like such a distinction between like animals and humans in your mind in terms of like the ethical divide, but
I don't know, ask God.
Okay.
It's like an outer bounds of like unknowable things of like.
But we have science that like studies the consciousness of animals and things like that. We know that like the psychological processes are really similar for a lot of advanced animals.
Yeah, sure, but like is that definitive of like a conscious experience in the way that ours exists? I'm not sure.
I mean, there's divides, but like then you get into the argument of like people who
have disabilities,
like mentally
or
disabled and things like that, that probably have cognitive processes that are pretty similar to that of
like Trump,
a
I'm just kidding,
or something.
Trump voters. No, no, yeah, I understand.
Whereas
what you're
I feel like you'd have the position that like you'd protect those people as well. We'd have a moral obligation.
Yeah, probably, but you would do it on the basis of their ontology, of the fact that they're humans and they belong to a group of people that we protect, basically, not necessarily because of their individual capabilities or disabilities or abilities.
For sure, but you don't. I guess in the abortion debate, like you say that the ontology argument emerges once this person has a sufficient level of conscious experience.
A conscious experience, yeah.
But if you have like a mentally disabled person, they never reach that.
I think
experience.
They still have a conscious experience. Yeah, it might be cognitively impaired.
That I would say is like equal to that of an animal. likely. Many.
I don't know if I would assume that, but it's a hard. We can't even talk about each other's conscious experiences, so it's hard for me to opine much on an animal's. Get the fuck out of here, these vegan arguments, okay? Go.
Okay.
We're talking about our country right now, okay?
This
no,
wasn't even
but
my
I appreciate
question.
It.
He just aggravated me.
No, okay. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
So I had a second question, though. So,
yeah, go for it. Israel-Palestine. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So I feel like you haven't taken a super strong... I haven't seen you take a super strong position on what the line is for, like, what necessary political violence is.
Yeah, because I don't want to get banned on YouTube.
Of course, yeah. But I would challenge you... Is there, I feel like you feel that there's a point where political violence is acceptable. And I think, like, with this administration, I mean, if things advance, like, over the next 3 years as they have in this.
Yeah, the issue
year,
is, like, there's a boiling pot thing to where you don't realize that things are bad. Like, we keep saying, I think Ezra Klein's video of, like, the moment is here, I think, wasn't that, like, in March?
Maybe.
Where he's like, this is it, guys. Everything happens so gradually. Like, we're seeing, like, political indictments for opponents. That's crazy. The mm-hmm. Comey, the Bolton indictment. It's just like, okay, so we're doing this. This is insane. But it was insane when Trump truthed out Pam Bondi. You need to indict these people. And if you're not going to do it, or we don't have a prosecutor for it, I've got this this insurance attorney or whatever who can do it. And she is. And she's the one doing the. Is it Harrison or I don't remember the name or whatever. But when I talk about violence, the only thing that, and it's hard because especially, you know, if you're at college or if you're talking to my audience, like generally most of us are decently well off. And even like minority types who are decently well off are somewhat insulated, not completely, but somewhat more insulated than other at-risk groups to stuff that's going on in society. I just think when you talk about violence, one thing that people will say oftentimes is they'll say things like, well, I don't want to get political, or I think that we need to avoid violence at all costs necessary, but they ignore like the existing like institutional or structural violence that is like very real and very existing. And it's a little bit frustrating sometimes. Like obviously you don't want people going to war. It's not good. But for people to say things like, you know, people go and protest ICE and they'll be like, this is crazy. Like you're blocking them from, you know, doing whatever. You're, it's an insurrection or there's violence against some ICE agents. Like we need to have no violence. And it's like, okay, like I just saw an Apache helicopter like flying to fucking Chicago and, you know, take like 36 people out of a building. I was like, that's, like, what are we talking about here? Like, what are we doing? Like, there's some level of violence that is being systematically...
So do you think we are close to that line, then?
I think that certain people are closer over it. Yeah, I would be sympathetic towards it. I'll say that much, yeah. But with the understanding that, like, it shouldn't get to that point. There's no reason for it to get to that point. One of my biggest frustrations with the second Trump term is that all of America's pain right now is self-inflicted. Like, at the end of Trump 1... Like, COVID happened. That wasn't our fault. Well, I guess it depends who you ask. And then for Biden's term, you had, you know, we were dealing with all the inflation fallout and everything from COVID. We had the Russia-Ukraine war, you know, that had a bunch of food issues and other inflation stuff. So, like, I understand that. And then Trump comes in, and there's, like, nothing going on. Like, everything is, like, we're kind of recovering. Everything is going okay. And he's like, I'm just going to fuck up everything now. And it's like, for what reason? Like, why? Because of fentanyl coming in from Canada? Because of Venezuelan drug boats? Like, this is, like, these aren't real things. I don't know why we're nuking our whole country over like these issues. And I think that every time he talks about them, I feel like I'm more proven right by that, because at first it was like 10 million illegals that Biden let in, and then it was 15, and then 20. The last time I heard it was 25 million. I don't know if these people are teleporting into the country or if just 10 million illegals came in and they all gave birth to anchor babies or, yeah, it's just crazy that it's so self-inflicted right now. So your original question was about political violence. I don't want it to come to that, but here's the big, this is like the big question that I always ask Republicans. You have to be careful when you say things like, do you think Trump is serious about running for a third term? Or do you think Trump is serious when he says that? Never ask a conservative that, because they'll all laugh and say, oh, it's a meme, it's a joke. What you ask them is like, if Trump were to do this, would you defend it? And like 50-50, they'll say yes. And that's the issue. The problem isn't like Trump says a lot of shit. It's that people will defend Trump when he does anything. And that's the scariest thing right now, because yeah. Conservatives will make complaints about violence and stuff. Republicans are so good at projecting their victimhood onto the left, even though the Republicans are doing everything. The best example of this in my mind was Biden was the president of the United States when the Supreme Court issued that unbelievably insane immunity decision, and there wasn't a single fucking conservative talk show host, politician, nobody. You've never heard a MAGA guy walk up to you and go, oh my God, they just legalized crime. Biden's going to get us all. No one has said that. Meanwhile, every liberal is like, Trump's about to fucking start assassinating people, right? So even though conservatives are always scared about the crime, like, you should just, like, stop letting them say things and assume they're true and just, like, follow through on a little of what they're saying, you know? Like, people talk about, like, Biden and all the radical... Like, who committed terrorist acts for fucking Biden? Like, how many Antifa members are like, we're here because fucking Joe Biden wants us? Like, come give me a fucking break. It's so stupid, yeah.
For sure. But don't you think that's maybe, like, just a problem with democracy in general? I think that, like, you know, if conservatives can just be so brainwashed that, like, Trump could be doing so much, like, self-inflicted harm to our nation and even, like, conservatives directly, that, like, just going to the polls, like, isn't a solution. Like, maybe there has to be, like, alternative approaches, like, where that's where the justification of, like, political violence.
Well, I mean, that is the American experiment, right?
Yeah.
Like, for monarchies, you have a special political class that's trained from birth to do politics. It's their whole life. And they, you know, they learn the trade, they learn how to talk to the people, they learn how to do marriages and diplomatic stuff. And that's what monarchies are for, is you have a specially trained political class. In a democracy, not only are your citizens coming from, or your elected representatives coming from your citizenry, your citizen body, you have, like, ordinary people making that choice. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, even 250 years ago, you know, would argue that, like, an ordinary person can't make these decisions, or this is something that's way beyond, you know, an average citizen to decide. And, I mean, maybe it is, maybe...
Do you think that?
We've gotten pretty far, I think.
Sure.
I think we're doing pretty good. Sure. We're having a little bit
Trump's
of a laugh right now,
but... unprecedented in terms of, like... leveraging his power. And of course we have, like, all these systems in our institution, like checks and balances and things like that, that are supposed to, like, hypothetically be able to prevent this, but there's either just too much lag time in terms of, like, enforcing those kinds of regulations, or they just really have been hypothetical this whole time and Trump's just, like, leveraging his power.
One of the big issues, I've talked about this a lot, is that when people talk about checks and balances, people misunderstand what checks and balances are for. Checks and balances are rules set up to make sure that the three branches of government are, like, relatively co-equal and can check and balance each other's power. Checks and balances does not exist for people that are playing outside the rules.
Yeah.
Like, people seem to think that, like, oh, well, the courts or Congress will check Trump. Trump is the executive. Like, if a corrupt cop comes to your, you know, apartment to beat the shit out of you, a judge isn't going to save you. Your elected representative isn't going to save you. The cops are the cops. They're going to beat the shit out of you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And, yeah, when Trump is decided as the executive, well, I'm not going to play by the rules. And then when what's worse is that the Republicans in Congress have abdicated all of their power for whatever reason to Trump. They're never going to impeach him. They won't hold him accountable for anything. I think they just recently, was it a 54-46 vote against the tariffs? I think they finally, like, 7 months after this insanity, I think ruled, I don't know if it was all of them, or they
for
voted.
Canada, I think.
Well, was it just, maybe it was just Canada?
Been,
I've been traveling a lot. So, but, like, yeah, like, the big issue too is that, yeah, Republicans have just totally ceded all of their power in Congress to Trump because they're happy to just, like, march along. So, you know, what are you going to do? I only say this because too many people are having this issue right now where they're like, we've got to, you know, rewrite the rules and we've got to do all this. Like, no, the rules are fine as written. The problem is Trump has decided not to play by the rules. You can't write rules for somebody who's decided that he's going
to. But do you think that, like, there might be other systems we need to implement that actually enforce those rules a little bit more heavy-handedly?
I don't know. I mean, I'd be open. Maybe they're, like, ideas. They're like, oh, that sounds cool.
Sure.
Like, I think Supreme Court reform would be really good. Not even as, like, a packing the court thing, but I think there are good reasons to have, like, way more members on the Supreme Court, so that they could, like, yeah, I think there are good arguments to do different things. Like, maybe the Electoral College could be looked at. Maybe the balancing of the House could be looked at. Like, more seats added to the House to make it more representative. Like, yeah,
I guess I just worry for future presidents that, like, he's setting a precedent that, like,
that's why I said earlier there has to be some kind of, like, truth and reconciliation process, because we can't walk away from this, because people respond predictably to certain environments, right? Like, if you see a kid in a store crying and the parent gives him candy and you're like, God, why is this kid such an asshole? It's like, well, what do you mean? He gets candy every time he cries. Like, of course. Like, the kid is being rational. And for Republicans, like, Trump is just the rational extension of all the crazy shit Republicans have been building up to for the past 30 years. And if there's no big, you know, atonement after Trump's term, well, then why wouldn't the next Republican president should be Trump too?
Do the exact same thing.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Why would you just cede all that political power for no reason? So, yeah, I don't know what that atonement looks like, but...
For sure.
I fantasize. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, yeah. Okay. Here, introduce yourself, ask a question. I'm going to look at anything real quick. Go for it. I'm listening.
Well, I'm back. My name is Joe, by the way. So you brought it on yourself because you said it like two or three times, but what's your stance on the Israel-Palestine issue?
Don't laugh at me. Okay, Israel-Palestine, what is my stance on it? That's a very broad question. What do you mean?
What's your stance on the Israel action in Gaza, the Gaza war?
I mean, like, I was largely supportive of, like, I think they needed to take some action after October 7th. I mean, I'd be largely supportive of that. I think that, I don't think Hamas can be left as the governing body in Gaza. I think that would be insane. I think that the international community has done a great disservice to everybody in that region by only trying to, you know, scold Israel over and over again and don't seem to care at all about Hamas. But one very frustrating thing for a lot of people that talk about Israel and the history of, like, Israel in this region is people always view Israel as this, like, country that is, like, constantly starting wars to take territory, and they've got the greater Israel, blah, blah, blah. It's, like, all this, like, crazy shit. Like, Israel will never, like, start shit like this to expand their territory, but Israel is incredibly opportunistic, and people fail to realize that sometimes. So you've got the people, the crazy pro-Pallies who argue that Israel is, like, the next Satan-spawned country who's always doing evil things, and then you've got conservatives who, I guess, just want to give infinite money to Israel for whatever fucking reason. But the reality is, like, Netanyahu has used, like, this war to advance, I would argue, a really cancerous Israeli position that is going to completely fuck over the Palestinians in the foreseeable future. Like, saying that they are going to de-radicalize Gaza, whatever that means, saying they're going to reform the PA, whatever that means. Basically keeping the two people separate and avoiding any kind of actual settlement on any of the longstanding issues between Israel and Palestine.
It was an interesting take. I agreed with the first half of what you said, at least. I think that Hamas, like you said, has no role in the future. It needs to be gone. I would say that Israel has taken the action it has needed to do so. I think a lot of people have fallen for the propaganda from the Hamas Palestinian Health Ministry saying that so many children have been killed. There's no verified reports of that at all. So the propaganda campaign of the Islamic left is been really good, unfortunately. And I just don't see how, I mean, I like the idea that of the peace plan that was put forward. I just don't see how the international community is going to actually take a step up and do anything, because European leaders want to go to the UN, and the UN is just bullshit. It's just fucking bullshit. Excuse the language.
I mean, I don't think the UN is bullshit.
Peace will happen. It is. They don't do anything.
Peace will happen in Israel when another leader comes up that wants to make peace with the Palestinians.
And how is it? What does peace in that regard look like?
Some permanent settlement of the issues.
We've been talking about some nebulous permanent.
It could be a two-state solution. It could be, I don't know, it has to be some kind of formal agreement between.
Right, but when you think about a two-state solution, doesn't that just mean the Palestinian side is going to get is going to be run by a terrorist group?
Well, I mean, there's
just
the,
like,
Palestinian
Hamas.
Authority. There's the PLO. Like,
well, the PLO and the Palestinian Authority were both. The PLO itself was a terrorist organization. The PA is its successor, and not much better than Hamas.
PA is infinitely better than Hamas.
And it's not much better
it's
than Hamas.
It's infinitely better than
no,
Hamas.
It's not.
That's an insanely unhinged statement.
No,
on October 7th,
no,
the PA was not invading Israel on October
7th. No, I didn't say the PA was involved in October 7th. I'm saying that it's not much better than Hamas. They still do not seek actual peace with Israel and have not really come to any sort of
Well, their goal
of
isn't actual peace. Their goal is to just administer to the West Bank, right? But, like, Israel is the larger party. They've got the larger military. They've got the larger economy. They've got the support of the United States. Like, if Israel wants there to be a permanent peaceful settlement, Israel has the power to force those terms and to force a conversation. But Israel sees itself as being able to take advantage of the division between the Palestinians and to just continue to expand to the West Bank. And they're greedy and short-sighted, and they'll continue to do that until the next terrorist attack happens.
Yeah, I think that goes into what you said before, which I agree with, is that the international community always takes the opportunity to blame Israel for anything. So if Israel tries to do something about any sort of solution, it's just going to be blamed for if that solution doesn't work out.
Well, I mean, maybe, but I mean, that can't be a reason not to try. Like, they've tried, they've created things with the Palestinians
in
the past.
They did try that. I believe it was Ehud Olmert, I think, back in
2008.
Was it 2008?
Yeah, with
basically said, yeah, we'll give you land for peace, and Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, said, nope, we're not going to take it.
Sure, there have been issues. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, the Palestinians have fucked up a lot, but, like, Israel's the bigger party here. Like, they can force terms. If they really wanted to, they could make it happen. Yeah,
I hope they do, because I think one of the things that needs to be done is is Israel needs to stop giving a fuck about what the international community says and do what they know needs to be done to create a stable situation, remove the elements of propaganda and terrorism that are basically just making lives of the Palestinians shit, because that's all they can, that the people that control Gaza, control the West Bank, are only in it for their own power and don't really, it seems, give a shit about the people that they're supposedly governing.
I mean, maybe. It's a complicated issue, though. Like, these are people who feel like they've been dispossessed from a land. These are people who feel like they have, you know, like, family members that are living outside the borders that don't have the ability to travel freely, to leave and come back. The history is... What?
Which is a reality that's coming out of the reality of terrorism that Israel has faced for the last...
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, like, I'm not going to say you're defending Hamas. Hamas is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, at some point, Israel is the bigger party here. Israel has the capacity to force some kind of peaceful arrangement, but I think Israel enjoys the geostrategic ambiguity of the Palestinian question because it just allows them to further shore up more land in the West Bank. I think that they enjoy it's a thing that benefits them.
I would disagree with that, but I do appreciate the conversation.
I mean, look at what Israel accomplished off the back of the October 7th stuff. They killed Nasrallah. They killed all the leadership in Hamas. They got to bring the U.S. to Iran to bomb them. I'm pretty sure they bombed the Houthis at some point, too. Like, they've gotten so much. They did all the Patriot attacks and everything for Hezbollah. The Syrian regime collapsed. The Assads are finally gone. So, like, for Israel, this last war was, like, fucking, they got everything they wanted and more.
But I doubt they would have wanted to lose 1,500 civilian lives as just to succeed in taking out people that they could have taken out before.
It doesn't seem like they're any closer to figuring out the issue with the Palestinian problem. It doesn't seem like they're any closer to figuring out a solution to that. So, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Listen, yeah. I hate all these. I hate the Do you support the Ukrainians in their war against the Ukrainians, against Russia?
I absolutely support Ukrainian territorial integrity.
Why do you, does it upset you that Trump has no concern in the world for this?
It doesn't really upset me because it's an issue that he's been saying that the Europeans need to take up more responsibility for. It's on their continent, and that's true.
Wait, what do you mean it's true? Well, hold on. My geography's not the best sometimes. Last I checked, Israel's not on our continent. They're even farther from it. Ukraine, maybe?
The difference between Ukraine and Israel is the United States and Israel have had historic ties to each other, and we are basically the only country in the world that is willing to stand up for Israel when that needs to happen.
Sure, but I mean, like, we could tell, like, Egypt and Jordan, like, we've given you guys money, you know, maybe you should help Israel.
Well, I mean, it took both of those countries wars to make peace with Israel, and eventually, I think that Syria soon will also join the Abraham Accords with Israel.
Sure, possibly, yeah.
Make peace, because I see some hope in the leader there, surprisingly. But anyway, the difference is we don't really have that historical tie with Ukraine.
Who cares? We have a modern, like, necessity for a free and secure Europe that the United States enjoys, like, a great benefit being the head of in terms of security and trade. Like, I just feel like we have every incentive.
Don't get me wrong. I support efforts to secure Ukraine.
I think the Europeans
need to step up and provide a little bit more.
Why not
more
the United States? I feel like we've failed in our obligations as well, though.
To some degree, certainly. And when Biden, not to make this political in terms of that, but when Biden says, well, it depends on what Putin does. If it's a minor incursion, giving, you know, I think this all started in part because of a failure of leadership from the American administration at the time, which was Biden. And it could have been anyone, but unfortunately it happened to be Biden at the time that this happened. But
Biden and the Democrats wanted to support Ukrainians more, and Republicans started to tie support to Ukraine.
Well,
for, like,
that was prior
to immigration legislation.
That was after the invasion. Before the invasion, the Democrats were the ones that didn't really want to support Ukraine.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure Biden was the one that made the decision to publicize all of the information.
Obama did not. In 2014, through the end of the Obama administration, all he gave was defensive weapons and blankets. I know that's a little bit of a trope, but he didn't give the Ukrainians the weapons they needed.
Sure, that was a different time, though. They were only the Donbass civil war and everything in Crimea was going on. It wasn't like a full-throated invasion. I'm just saying it's interesting to hear. Trump lives in this dual ambiguity of, like, I want to have no new wars, but we're talking about going to war with Venezuela and Colombia. And then, we need to let the rest of the world take care of itself. But then we can send infinite money to Israel, but not Ukraine. I just don't understand the priorities.
First of all, I think it's very clear that the situation with Venezuela and to some degree Colombia is just posturing. It's posturing. We're already blowing up
boats in Venezuela.
We're blowing up drug runners. Yeah, and then we have
maybe
right
well,
to
you don't
do
know
so.
The drug runners. We're just blowing up boats.
We're blowing up boats that we know have narcotics on them.
Nobody knows that because nobody's proven that.
It's
a war crime.
Doubtful? That is not a war crime.
It's a war
give
crime.
Give me a fucking... give me a break.
You
that's
can't
a
kill
war
other
crime.
Nation citizens with your military without being at war with that nation. That's called a war crime. Yes.
No. No, it's not. It's actually not. But
It actually super is. I promise you. It's super not... It's a war crime.
A war crime under what definition?
Under the Rome Statute. Under the International Criminal Court. You can't murder another...
Okay. Oh. The International Criminal Court. Which... the United States is not party to, so fuck that.
That is true. We're not party to it, but there's also something called international customary humanitarian law, which is like basically international laws that everybody's expected to follow
and
no matter what. And like murdering another country's citizens is a thing that you can't do that unless you're at war. It's not. I mean, like, I'm not sitting here telling you, like, we're going to The Hague or whatever. They're going to start arresting our president. I'm just saying that, like, it's crazy that Donald Trump is openly bragging about doing things that the rest of the world and ourselves would consider war crimes. You can just kill other country citizens with no trial, no due process. We don't know if these are drug dealers.
I would hazard a guess that if most Americans understood the context of the situation and why these boats are being blown up, most would probably support it.
I don't think,
given proper context, most Americans really give a crap about international law either, and I don't understand why we should give a crap about international law.
Well, then you run into the Hassan Piker argument of America deserve 9/11, right?
No, you don't.
Well, if you're going to conduct yourself without a concern for the rest of the world, then how can you get mad if other people in the world conduct themselves with no concern for you?
Well, there's a huge difference between a legitimate state conducting actions in its own interests that do not coincide with international law and a stateless terrorist organization attacking civilians for the purpose of instilling fear in that civilian population.
You don't think Trump is trying to instill fear in Venezuelans when they brag about targeting and blowing up ships?
No, I think there is a strategic and legitimate purpose in blowing up boats that are trafficking drugs, and I assume if I'm wrong, so be it.
Sure.
Has Trump
ever taken any military or federal action that you think was overstepping his boundaries as president or commander in chief?
If he actually invades Venezuela, yes, I don't think there's a purpose for that.
But anything else, has he done anything where you're like, that was probably too far? Not like bad messaging, but like that action was wrong. He shouldn't have done that.
Honestly, no.
Okay.
No, I don't. I think that like I said with the National Guard issue, he hasn't done a lot there, and he's saying he's done a lot, and he hasn't really. It's a matter of perception, and like I said, he has the
would
right
you support
to
like strategic bombing of Venezuela?
I don't see the purpose in that.
You don't see the purpose, but I bombed the drug dealers in Venezuela. You say, I support that.
I support taking out drug boats that are on their way to the United States to
what if he starts blowing them up in ports?
Fentanyl. What?
What if he starts blowing them up in ports? Like if they're parked in a Venezuelan port and he blows it
that
up?
That would be problematic. If they're in open waters, that's fine. If they're in Venezuelan territory or Colombian territory, that's a different story.
Okay. All right, I guess we'll see what happens, yeah.
I got to go to class, but thank you for the conference.
Thanks a lot, yeah. Hey, what's up?
How's it going, man?
Okay.
I'm Nate.
What's up, Nate?
What's your name?
Steven,
it's nice to meet you. I'm going to be honest, like, I don't know anything about you.
Okay.
I just walked out of my class. There was a poster. I was like, oh, that's right now.
What class did you come from?
Material science.
Okay, cool.
Engineering. Yeah, it's pretty fun. But I just wanted to ask you, I'm a Christian.
Okay.
I'm sure it's more fun to talk about than maybe Israel and Gaza right now, but I just want to hear your story with maybe religion, Christianity. What did you grow up with? What do you believe now?
I grew up Catholic. I went to a Catholic high school, or a Catholic grade school, and then a Jesuit Catholic high school.
Yeah.
I kind of made my journey to atheism probably when I was like 15, 16, 17, like kind of through my mid-high school years. And now I'm just a super atheist, I guess, yeah.
Nice. So what do you believe about the world? And
which parts of the world?
Yeah. So our
I'm
origins.
I'm like a materialist. I don't have any origins. I don't know. I guess 13.78 billion years ago, the Big Bang happens.
I
don't think there's any like objective meaning or foundation for anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Existential kind of person. Yeah.
Where do you get your morality from?
Generally, I guess I derive it from the intuitions I have, and then from that I extrapolate the ways that people can interact and the ways that maximize, I guess, our preference-seeking behavior or our emotional behavior. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I mean, where do you think those intuitions come that you have?
My brain.
Right. Is that it? Like, do you think everybody, like the different brains give us different intuitions, and that's where our subjective morality comes from?
I think for the most part, I think we all have pretty similar intuitions. I think sometimes they mask or they appear a little bit different, but it's just because of the groups of people that we're around.
Do you believe in cultural relativism?
Like a moral relativism?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I guess it would depend on the issue. Like, there are going to be some things that I think throughout basically all of human history seem to be pretty stuck. Like, nobody's ever been okay with, like, killing for no reason, or generally speaking, rape, or, you know, like, stealing stuff. But then there are other things like LGBT rights, or slavery, I guess. Yeah, or women's rights that we've kind of navigated in a different direction on.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't agree that every religion feels the same way about killing. I would say that there are plenty of religions that justify it for many reasons, like the god of Molech in the Old Testament. They would sacrifice children to that god for controlling the weather or getting blessings. I mean, I don't think that's moral, but that's what they believed is moral. Like, I mean, I don't think every religion feels the same way about killing, feels the same way about rape. And so I'm
sure there are like different, maybe if you go really far back and people didn't understand the weather and they had like sacrifices and stuff, I'm sure people have done that. But I feel like today, I feel like most major societies and cultures have like broadly agree on things like this. Yeah.
I mean, have you read the Talmud?
No. That's the Jewish one, right?
Yeah.
No. Why?
I mean, it justifies the killing of Goyim or Gentiles, non-Jewish people. And so I would venture to say that modern Judaism does not agree with my morality, the morality I derive from Christianity, from the Bible.
Yeah, but how many Jews are out there killing Gentiles?
I mean,
I guess it depends on how deep the rabbit hole goes on that. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, you can use any religion to justify anything, right? Like the Christians did the Crusades, and you had all the caliphates for, you know, Islam, and for you have Israel for Jews who like to blow people up. I think you can take any religion and make it, you can weaponize it in a certain way. But I feel like it speaks more to my point than anything else, that it feels a bit relativistic in that the people of the same religion can feel very differently about the same topic. Yeah.
Sure, but I think in like those religions that I've mentioned were teaching that stuff. Whereas Christianity, if you look at Christianity justifying slavery in the 1800s, or Christianity justifying the Crusades, like that's not in the teachings of Christianity. Whereas in Molech, in the Talmud, like those things are there. Those things are taught.
Yeah, but I feel like humans are always putting like one layer between them and the text, and they're giving different ways to interpret it. So you would look to the actions or the behaviors of the humans to see, are they actually carrying out these things? And I just don't see Jews en masse like fighting against the Goyim or Gentiles, and I don't see arguably, like hearing Trump say like the most important book ever is the Bible and then blowing people up in Venezuela, I would argue is kind of a weird thing if you're a Christian, but most Christians don't seem to care about that. So
yeah,
I feel like people compartmentalize religion in a very unfortunate way, and they're like, and they don't really think about it much when it comes to politics right now, unless they want to weaponize it.
Right. Well, I think that Christianity influences the way I think about politics, and it absolutely, for every Christian, should influence the way that they think about politics. But I think what we see in our culture is that we kind of hold them as equal where they're not equal, and that's where we get people like Trump saying that they're Christians But they're like, that's not what he holds as his number one thing. Like, that's not what he holds as most valuable. And when actual Christians see that, they can tell that he's full of crap when he says the most important book to him is the Bible, when you see the way he's living his life. So you're right. Like, there is a difference between sometimes between teachings that people say they believe and how they actually live their life. And I think if you really believe something, you're going to live it.
Yeah, that could be true. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, like, I have to look at, like, how does all this filter out? And if somebody wants to tell me that, like, well, here's the text of all the religions, and, like, they're saying for, like, the Jewish one or whatever, like, the Talmud justifies all this stuff. I'm like, oh, shit, like, Jewish people must be the ones committing all the terrorist attacks or doing all the crazy shit. And then I look at the real world, I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't seem like this is happening as much. Mm-hmm. Then it feels like there are other factors at play to influence how people are behaving. So, yeah. Just going to the religious text seems to be insufficient to determine how people actually live their religious lives. Yeah.
I would agree with that. But I'm not making the argument against the Jewish people or the people who worship Molech, because they're all children of God. That's what I believe. But what I'm saying is Christianity is the only one with validity, where when you live it out with full faith in what you're reading, it's the one that produces the best kind of people.
Yeah, but you're begging the question, because you're saying full faith in reading is however you agree the scriptures to be read, right? But I mean, in Christianity, there's literally multiple denominations. Like, who's to even say what is the best way to live your life based on all the denominations that exist, you know?
Sure. And I think that for the most part, save Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses,
Seventh-day Adventists. And
yeah, 99% of those denominations believe the fundamental truths about Jesus that, like, we need to believe to be saved. And then all that other stuff is secondary. And it's stuff that we might not really know the answer till we get to heaven. But I don't think the denomination argument really undermines Christianity at all. I think, there are ways you can interpret certain things, but there's no two ways about the resurrection. There's no two ways about who Jesus was and what he did and that he came to save us.
Sure. Here's the thing that would sway me more in Christianity. If I ever heard Christians, like, bring out their religion as a restraint mechanism instead of weaponizing it, I would give more credence to the argument that Christians were living their religion more. Like, if I had ever heard a Christian say something like there's a lot of homeless people in the city, or there's a lot of illegal immigrants, and even though they're annoying and dirty or whatever, like, Jesus says we have to take care of our fellow man, so let's do it. And I'd be like, oh, shit, that's a religious dude. Yeah. But the only time I hear religion come out is as a weapon or a cudgel against political opponents, which makes me feel like it's just a subjective thing that's drawn out of the toolbox when you need it to weaponize, against somebody else. And then otherwise, then it goes back in when it comes time to make any other decision. So,
sure. And I think the weaponization of the Bible and Jesus is the thing that undermines Christianity in so many people's eyes. Like, but I want to, like, my mom is the most Christian woman I know, and she volunteers with International Neighbors in Charlottesville, Virginia, to find refugees jobs, to find them homes. These people that have escaped persecution in the Middle East, like, they've come here, they don't have anything, and she helps them. So, I mean,
that's good.
Do you really, like, do you have Christian friends? Like, are you trying? Because I would say if that's the thing that you would sway you, well, if this is life and death, then why wouldn't you seek that out? Why wouldn't you try to find people who are living that way? Because there are so many of them that I know.
This is going to sound really mean. Like, there are a lot of good Catholics. There are a lot of good Christians. There are a lot of probably even good Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists and every other thing. Like, these people exist. But, like, everything that your mom has done is a wash or is worthless compared to evangelicals en masse, like, gleefully celebrating the elimination of, like, USAID. So, like, how am I supposed to take seriously somebody who's like, well, I know a person who helped, two or three refugees, and, like, 14-plus million people are slated to die because we need to give more money to Israel or more money to the National Guard or more money to blowing up Venezuelan boats. And it's like, the math is not mathing here. But when people individually live good lives, I think that's important. But then people act like one of the most important responsibilities they have in this country, which is to vote, is a joke. And what the Trump administration does or what we do to other people around the world is largely irrelevant. Well, why should I care? One individual does, as good as it is. Like, I'm not saying your mom is, like, a bad person. Like, if she's helping people doing that, that's awesome. But then, like, man, to condemn so many other people to die for such goofy reasons because they claim that all the money is going to, like, trans operas in Morocco. And it's like, seriously? Like, yeah. That's sad to me, I think. I feel like it undermines any larger Christian message somebody's trying to sell.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe that. I think that there's real change happening in churches. There are hundreds of thousands of churches across this country making real change in people's lives. And I think when we, like, neglect what's happening at the individual level, like, we lose the big picture, because Jesus changes individual lives, and because of that, like, a mass movement of individuals, like, up, like, we have seen that with, like, Turning Point USA. I mean, it wasn't really about faith in, like, the beginning, and I think Charlie Kirk kind of turned his message more towards Christianity, and we've seen that Gen Z is going to be the first generation that is more Christian than their parents. And I think that's huge. And I think that's because Jesus is changing lives, and there's no way to undermine
that.
Yeah,
but changing lives, like, I remember a story where Jesus, you know, like, fed a crowd of people with, you know, like, two slices of bread and some fish or whatever. And, like, the same people that are supposedly super religious are now clapping cheerfully to see 40 million people without SNAP benefits saying that they don't deserve to have, you know, like, food.
Yeah.
There's an incongruence here that is impossible for me to reconcile.
Right.
And so
I think that's why James says in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. If you claim to have faith and you don't help your brother, you don't clothe somebody who's naked, you don't feed somebody who's hungry, then where's your faith? Like, show me that you have faith by your works. Because without works, your faith is dead. Without works, your faith has no fruit in this world.
So where are the works in this, in the government that Christians in the United States largely support?
I don't think the government is producing as much fruit as churches are. I mean, I think the church...
Do you think churches can replace every function of the government?
Absolutely not.
So how can churches or church-going people support, like, the government, like, removing people from Medicaid or from removing or defunding, basically letting the food stamp stuff expire, or, you know, not running the government, or cutting USAID, or blowing up people in other countries? Like, where is the Christianity in that, I guess? Like, I feel like if Jesus Christ came back to life right now and showed up in society, like, conservatives would kill themselves if they had to listen to this guy talk, because it would be the most painful cognitive dissonance. Like, if I think of every conservative political leader speaking, it is the most un-Jesus-like thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Well, like, I don't understand how people reconcile this.
Yeah. I would be careful about, like, when you say, like, if Jesus came back to life, he would do this. Whenever people say that, it's just, like, Jesus would be on my side. Like, are you sure about that?
I'm just thinking about... I'm pretty sure the guy that walked around, you know, talking to lepers and being with poor people and challenging, like, the Pharisees and everything else, mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing that he would be the supply-side Jesus that Republicans seem to think he would be today.
I agree with that. I think that he came, like, not to be some political figure, and that's what the Jews at the time believed the Messiah was going to do. They believed he would free them from the Roman government, and he didn't. His revolution was spiritual, not political, and that flipped the world upside down.
Yeah, but the spiritual doesn't matter when it's compartmentalized away from your actual acts.
Right? I absolutely agree. That's why faith without works is dead.
Yeah, but part of your works is the government that represents you as a people, and the conservative leadership that's chosen by the religious people in this country, I would say, acts in a largely immoral manner. It would be a way that I would be embarrassed if I was, like, a religious person to say this is my government, as a man that makes fun of illegal immigrants or has alligator Alcatraz or jokes about blowing up people. Like, this is, like, the least Christian form of governance that I could possibly think of. This is ignoring his personal life.
Yeah. I mean, I think that for a long part of my life, I thought that Christians were supposed to be passive in government, and we were kind of just supposed to do things, like, outside of politics, like, don't get involved because we have, like, spiritual things going on. But I really think that if you are a Christian, you should be involved in government. You should be voting. You should be learning what our government is doing. You should want the prosperity of this nation. You should be educated about what's going on in politics. And I think that the Republican Party would like to claim that they reflect Christianity, but they really do a bad job at representing it. As far as the leaders in office as far as Trump goes, they don't represent Christianity. They don't represent Jesus. And I think it's offensive when they say they do, because where are your works? Where's your fruit that sure. comes from your faith?
Okay. Well, yeah. I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah. My only point is every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is King. And it's going to happen now or it's going to happen after you die. So it's your choice.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Oh, we got ChatGPT 3.0. What do you got this time for me?
Do you need some gloves?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. I was just curious. I don't know much about this topic, but I was just curious about your stance on the, like, how Trump is handling crime in big cities by sending in, like, the National Guard and stuff. How do you feel about that?
He's not. It's just a joke. It's like a 12-year-old version of, like, oh, I send the military somewhere and the crime all gone. It's just stupid.
How do you think we should take care of crime?
That's a hard conversation that, yeah. So one of the big issues that I have with the Conservative Party being so absolutely batshit insane is that, like, you kind of need both sides to be having a conversation, because ideally there's some back and forth, and in that tension you discover things that make your position better than it would have been otherwise, and then you kind of, like, head down that road. But right now, like, the Republicans have given up on governance. They just don't, they can't. They're, literally, right now, our government is shut down for the longest it's ever been shut down before, with second place being under Trump's first term, because the Republicans just cannot fucking govern, and they rely on and they beg for Democrats to come in and clean up their fucking mess, as they've done over and over again, whether it was Obama after the housing crisis with Bush, whether it was Biden after COVID with Trump, and then whatever it's going to be after this fucking administration, assuming we survive it. It's just a joke. So the
About the crime.
I don't know. I've heard, like, criminology people talk about how there are, like, different it's not popular with liberals, but things like broken windows policing, like there are, like, spot policing things you can do where there are problematic areas that that you, like, when police are there, crime goes down. There are other aspects that are outside of crime that can help. So things like having, you know, strong and stable families and households, things like having, you know, like, schools and after school programs and stuff, because what is it? Idle hands or the devil's play thing or whatever. You know, like, a lot of kids that are doing sports or team stuff or school extracurricular activities, so they don't have time to get up to no good. You know, there are, like, economic opportunities that are available in cities that give parents the opportunity to work and fund their family, or, you know, children the opportunity to look forward to things that aren't just, like, criminal activities. Like, crime is, like, a really big, when people are committing crime, I think there's been, like, a breakdown at multiple levels in society for somebody to get there. Like, from my upbringing, I can't even imagine, like, being a drug dealer. Like, I don't even know where I would buy drugs in high school. But I went to, like, a nice, like, Catholic high school. Like, I don't know where the fuck I would get drugs. I don't even know where I would sell drugs. That sounds like some Breaking Bad shit. But then for other people, they're introduced into this life at a very, very early age, you know? So it's easy to take a moral view on it, you know, and say, well, this kid is better than that kid. And it's like, well, it's not even like I made the choice not to commit crimes. It just was never even an option to me. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a hugely multifaceted approach, combating things like truancy, helping families.
No, I
know that whatever it is, it's not sending the fucking National Guard around and then tweeting about it.
I mostly agree with you there. I think that strong nuclear families would really, really help crime go down, especially with dads staying in the home and stuff like that. I know you might think I'm going off on this, but I'm not. But my first question is, do you think that which political party do you think is addressing these issues, or do you think no political party is addressing them? Do you think the liberal the left argument is like, oh, just give out these, it's a money problem, it's a money problem. But from my experience dealing with people that are homeless, like at service projects or when I was a kid, it never was a money problem. A lot of people who were homeless had a lot of mental issues, or they just couldn't fend for themselves. So if they ever got capital, they wouldn't know how to use it. So do you really think that capital, like that the Democrats have done so far, just kind of spending money, like in California, they spent like $300 million or something like that on trying to solve the homeless issue, but there's still tons of homeless and like they haven't really solved it. So do you think that Trump's way of going in there trying to give, I don't know much what he did with the homeless people after he cleared them off the streets, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know if it was good or bad, but how come Democrats have not found a solid solution to take care of homelessness or like to actually address people besides capital? And I'm also really upset that the church hasn't done enough to help people who are mentally or like help people who are stuck on the streets, because I feel like that's a really important role from the church.
I mean, I think Democrats are trying in cities, like a lot of crime, like crime across the United States has fallen pretty dramatically since 1990. The 90s were the worst, mm-hmm. And we never get credit for that. And then, you know, crime is higher in cities than it is in rural areas. But I mean, that's also like, well, per capita, that's not always even true. And like it's easier to commit crime in cities. It's like higher income disparity places. Like nobody wants to drive 10 miles to go rob a fucking Walmart, but you know, your corner store down the street might be easier to target. I think liberals are working at it. There's a lot of different cities. Obviously, I'm sure there are a lot of different policies where people are trying different things. Like Kamala Harris was unpopular for the way that she, you know, enforced, like she criminalized truancy, which I would argue is might be a bit of an overstep, but she was trying to keep kids in school or whatever, and she used the criminal justice system to do it. I mean, yeah, it's whatever it is, it's not. I think that Trump is actively harming the conversation is my issue. It's like you've got a guy with cancer and he's trying like radiation and then it's not working and then he starts chemo and then it doesn't do well. And then, you know, some fucking clown walks in and, you know, like punches him in the face and the guy's like, okay, well, this doesn't help. He's like, well, at least I'm doing something. Like that's like the Trump approach to everything. At least I'm doing something. And conservatives will say that without a hint of irony. Well, at least he's trying something. It's like, no, he's not. He's just, not only is he not trying something, he's actively hurting the situation because now we're not having a real conversation about what we should be doing about crime. We're not having a real conversation about what we could be doing about, you know, homelessness. Instead, it's all just become fucking meme warfare. So...
No, I totally agree with you. I think
I think one thing real quick. Yeah. You mentioned the money thing. Yeah. I do think that when it comes to things like homelessness, it's not just money. It's like a money and political will and like an expertise thing. Mm-hmm. Like you have to have good, effective programs that have the political will to support them long term, and then that are funded appropriately to do it. There are some people, like depending on what homeless populations you live next to, like you can put some dude in a house. Is this motherfucker is going to be crazy and fucked his whole life? Like he needs full time care. He needs full time. Like that's going to be the case. There are other people that are in unfortunate situations that can be helped. You know, with a bit of start. There are people with addiction issues. Like nobody that is doing, you know, the fucking zombie drugs on the street is a mentally healthy person. Like there are issues going on. Not necessarily like they have schizophrenia, but like nobody who is mentally healthy is making this choice. Like there's other issues that these people need support with. But yeah, it's just it's a money, expertise, and political will problem. And it's hard to bring all three of those together sometimes.
Okay. My second question, this is my last question. Mm-hmm. I'm gone. Do you think that liberal media skews kind of Trump's, they try and make him like look really, really bad for what he's trying to do with the White House right now with the ballroom? Because so many other presidents have added additions to the White House, like Obama at the basketball court. I remember like a swimming pool, movie theater, like stuff like that. And they've also had to demolish parts of the White House to put in those things, like the indoor swimming pool. I forget which president did, but I know it happened.
There are several things. So one, I don't think Obama demolished anything to put in a basketball court. I know that he did
the lawn.
There was a lot of like renovations and stuff that happened under the Obama administration for like old pipes and electric wiring and stuff. I think a couple issues that one, the government is currently shut down, so it feels really weird that Trump is in the middle of a huge $250 million remodel.
That's true.
Two, he demolished the entire East Wing to do it. Three, he has the worst fucking taste of any straight man I've ever seen in my life.
That's true. It's just all gaudy, gold and marble. It's ugly.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I'll be honest there.
Yeah, and then four, it feels like everything he does is like a monument to himself and his own fucking brand.
No, you're right.
And then
honestly,
five, the fact that he's soliciting like private donations to fund it, and they're acting like that's a good thing. Well, when it's like insanely,
it's definitely better than the public taxpayer. I mean, it's
why these are public
because
facilities.
We're not having to pay for it. Well, I mean, at
but
least
we should be paying for it. It's the White House.
Well, if it's nice that we don't have to.
No,
I mean,
it's
at least
not.
It's consistent.
We should. It's our. It's consistent. Do we want a privately funded? Like a privately funded government, like that's not
not
we don't,
fully, but like
well, not
at least
White
for this
House
one project where it's not affecting us.
I think if it's a project that the country can afford and it's about the White House, then it's probably a project that we just shouldn't be undertaking right now. Especially when he was so critical of Powell and everything going on at the Federal Reserve Building and everything too. Like, I like, fuck this guy. I hope they demolish it.
Demolish what, the ballroom?
The East Room, yeah. While he's still in it. Just kidding, not with that. But no, the East Room needs to go.
You can't promote violence.
I'm not.
Even in
not.
A joking way.
He'd be watching it's it terrible. From afar. That's what I mean.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I understand your point of view, and I get that. So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Heaven.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hi, what's up? What's your name?
My name's Tim.
Tim?
This is sadly going to be a bit of like a more like vibes sort of debate, just because
sure,
like
vibe, let's go ahead.
Less concrete.
Okay.
But I haven't been watching your stuff recently, but I'm going to make an assumption that like you're not really big on the whole like recent like progressive wing that some of the like new candidates are taking. Like, I'm talking about Zoran right now. Like,
okay.
I know you're not like fully on board with like all the leftist things, but it just kind of, and like there is like obviously the caveat to like New York is a pretty like liberal city. It already has like that kind of progressive slant with like the Bushwick sort of vibes and like the ranked voting. But there's no denying the fact that, I mean, I think he's like leading in the polls by like 80% right now or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like at some point you're going to shift to sort of like, you're going to jump on board with that more like progressive wing of the party, especially as like you watch Democratic senators and Democratic representatives just do nothing in the middle of all this?
Well, I mean, I would say one of our strongest fighters right now is Gavin Newsom, who's a strong center-left guy in Virginia. Oh, wow, not a Newsom fan. I see.
I'm
okay.
I'm sorry, Matt.
I'm not even going to get the... Wait, hold on. Sorry. Fuck, what's the name? The last name of the... she's like 13 points up right now for your governor race in Virginia.
Oh, Spam...
Spam...
I'm sorry, Spamberger. I can't stand Spamberger.
Oh, because she's moderate?
Yeah, no, but like her... I was talking to the... I was talking to the Democratic, like, stands over there.
Okay.
And their pitch for her was that she was the most bipartisan candidate, which kind of like... It feels like it's like a spit into the face of like Democratic voters. Like you're watching...
Was
like,
that really the pitch?
Yes.
Well, they should get a better pitch for her, okay? But, I mean, the pitch on the Republican side is we're going to talk about trans people for 10 hours a day until you can't sleep without thinking about them.
But well, that's what's frustrating me is it feels like right now Democrats are so lost. Like they are.
They're lost for a variety of reasons. Zoran is probably significantly to the left of me in a lot, but, like, I'll support whoever the Democratic candidate is. I think he ran a really
so
good
you
race.
So you're not
I'm not
going to
become
like...
more progressive, but fuck Cuomo, okay? And fuck Eric Adams,
okay,
right? Yeah. I mean, the Democrats choose to run him in New York City. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, I mean, if you lose that race, it's huge. Zoran ran a really good race. He did. And I mean, like, I disagree with a lot of his policies. So
what policies?
Like the fucking city-backed grocery store things or the... I'm usually against most forms of, like, rent control shit. His plan to fund the busing stuff, I don't know how that's going to go. But, like, one of two things will happen. He'll be elected, he'll try his things, and they'll fail. And I'll say, like, oh, well, look, well, the super progressive stuff doesn't work. We should do more center-left stuff. Or he'll try it, and it'll work. And I'll be like, oh, fuck, maybe some of this stuff is more viable. Maybe we should push for it in L.A. Well, or whatever.
If you see, like, that momentum kind of shifting towards that more, like, progressive wing, are you willing to, like, jump ship and be like, you know what? Like, I'm sorry, I saw you during the, like... election season sort of like era, mm-hmm. like when like Kamala was and like Biden were canvassing, like it's just embarrassing to support these like middle of the road Democratic candidates. It's just really
I mean you say that because they lost like the meme war, but I would say it's more embarrassing to support, you know, fucking Donald Trump, who is like an abomination of a fucking human being, who is one of the most like morally disgusting. This is a guy who's like fucking balls deep in Stormy Daniels while his wife is with her like 2 month old son at home, and he's like getting campaign funds to pay this off, and somehow we're supposed to care about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, or Donald Trump is flying around the world with Witkoff and his crypto scams, but we're supposed to care about Hunter Biden and Burisma, or you've got Kash Patel, who is firing senior FBI agents just because they worked on investigations that Trump didn't like, but I'm supposed to care or believe that Hillary sold like uranium to Russia. Like, I understand there's like this meme war stuff, but like Biden did an infinitely better job in governing than Trump
did.
Yeah,
I agree. It's just
Trump will. That was too edgy. I think Trump has more health problems than Biden. I wouldn't be surprised if Biden lasted longer. I'm praying for both of them to live to the age 100.
His cancer's like cured now, right? Like something.
Who, Biden's?
Yeah.
Maybe Biden should cure cancer on his own. He's got a magical body. He drives big cars. He eats good ice cream. Yeah. Okay, Biden's my king.
He's living the life, dude.
I agree that there's like this cringe around like supporting center-left Democrats, but I would argue a lot of that is the fault of like the center-left kind of like establishment media types. Like somehow like conservatives control all the media. Like on the left, like these people, and a lot of the people on the far left don't even care about politics. Like how embarrassing is it when we've had like all these crazy progressive, you know, MLs, tankies, commies, whatever, for like 12 years, and where are their politicians? They have nobody. They've elected nobody. Their movement has gone fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, you know, on the center right, these guys are, you know, saying elections are rigged all over the place, and they're still voting and winning elections on their own, and even the popular vote. And, you know, on the left, you've got the messaging is so bad in the Democratic Party. Like, what are we going to, you know, what are they going to do? And it's like, motherfuckers, in a way, you are the messaging. Fox News doesn't say Trump's messaging is bad.
Yeah.
They do his messaging for him. They bring him on Fox News and they talk to him. And it's just, it's like that Obama is okay. He was cool. Okay. Kamala, she was fine. Kamala was fine. Okay. Biden was cool. All right. Listen,
but like when it comes to like, let's say like, you know, 2028, those primaries are coming on. Are you going like AOC, like are you joining with that? Or are you
I'm never,
just
I'm not
going to
change
like
my political
Pete
beliefs.
Buttigieg or... What do you think is like going to be the most like narratively viable option? Like, I feel like it is just going to.
Well, it might be the one with the biggest fucking paramilitary by 2028. We might be in full war by who knows. It's impossible to predict. There's a world where your center left Dems, like your Gavin Newsom's, like continue to kind of like grow there. Stop doing that.
Did you ever hear the the Panera Bread? I could never get over that.
What's the Panera Bread thing?
I don't know if it's true, but like there was like that one law he passed where he raised the minimum wage for everybody but his like buddy who owns Panera Bread. Like, he is like a legitimately like
corrupt
politician.
Well, the last
politician.
Time I was at Panera Bread, their soup bowls were like $700, so they obviously
that's
don't
fine,
need to
be. But I'm not like writing.
Also, there's one of those fucking tip things at every single counter now that I go to that start at like 20%. I'm tipping 20% at fucking Starbucks because I'm being guilt-tripped at the counter. What the fuck?
Okay. But it's just weird that he's like making law. Like, the
I don't even know. Also, I don't know
laws.
If that's true. I feel like if I look that up, that's not going to be exactly true.
I heard it once. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not like the
from
most.
A conservative.
No, actually,
from Jesse Waters.
No, it was like a normal left-leaning dude. It's just we're reading it in class one time. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's crazy.
All right,
but I would love for you to fact-check that. I've just heard that before. He's like he seems like, and like the high-speed rail, which like never gets finished ever, and they just keep dumping money into it. Like,
yeah, we have problems. That's where our abundance people come in. Our wonderful, strong, upcoming center. Oh, you hate
but
them
then,
all, don't
no,
you?
But even then, it's like I like them. I agree with them. But then it kind of just feels like, hey, we should like be Bill Clinton again, and then just throw trans people under the bus and call it a day. Like, that's not. That to me doesn't sound like a very satisfying.
Saying that trans
pitch.
Women and cis women need to be competing at the Olympics together, it's not throwing trans women. Saying that that's a dumb position, it's not throwing trans people under the bus, okay? I think we can have a good position on trans people that doesn't involve them playing sports in the NCAA together, okay?
But, but there is some. It just kind of feels like Democrats are like scared to like stand up for their own beliefs. Like, I you know, say what you want, but there is something powerful about like Zoran like being willing to hold up a trans flag in a pride rally. Like, you know,
didn't Biden literally do this shit? Didn't we have the rainbow colored fucking White House lawn and all the conservatives got super mad at it? I just watch, was it Tim Pool or Joe Rogan who tweeted out the other day, there, or maybe it was Matt Walsh, was like, no, Biden had trans tits on the fucking White House lawn. The guy was like losing his fucking mind. I don't know, like,
but the problem is that it kind of feels like the more like center left Democrats tend to like weaponize the actual progressive part of politics rather than like using it. Like, I saw like that interview with like Cory Booker. Like, I'm not gonna get too much into Israel Palestine, but like someone was like arguing with him about Israel Palestine, and he started like woke scolding the interviewer, saying like, oh, like as a black man, like blah blah blah. Like, he's like weaponizing the actual beliefs rather than like legitimately believing them. And it kind of feels like a lot of these center left people don't stand behind trans people, don't stand behind black people, don't stand behind these people, but they just use their sort of that sort of realm of thought.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I guess it can come off that way sometimes, but I mean, when you look at the material fact of like who's doing more to help who, I mean, like Trump, like the Supreme Court just issued a ruling a while ago saying that you can racially profile depending on the job they have in California. That's crazy. Like, that's not Biden fighting for that. Like, it was the conservatives that fought against affirmative action. It was the conservatives that have now eliminated fucking every form of anything that has the letters DEI in it from across the entire country. Like, I think materially it's pretty clear, you know, where one side stands over the other. I do agree that I describe this as like the soy phenomenon, where Democrats just need to get better at like messaging their topics without sounding like fucking soy as fuck about it. Like, they've made it sound cringe, like conservatives, when they talk about diversity is our greatest strength. But like, to a large extent, it really is. Like, we have some of the craziest diverse populations in the world. We are the best fucking country on the planet. We are successful in a lot of different ways. And a lot of that can be traced back to how many different types of people are here and how many different types of people are working together and everything. And Democrats need to own it better and not like be so apologetic and soy and woke scoldy about it, and just be open. I would say,
All right. I was wondering if like you're like principally opposed to like ever like.
I'm not gonna change my politics, but
like no. But like, you know,
I'll
I mean.
Back like a candidate. Okay. Like, Zoran and AOC are I don't know about AOC anyway, but probably both of them are significantly to the left of me.
Okay.
But like, I would take any of these people over any Republican, definitely over Trump. And I'll generally always support the candidate.
My last question is basically like, okay, let's say. Best case scenario, like, whoever you, Newsom, your Buttigieg, whatever, like, they sweep the White House, sweep the Senate, sweep the House. What do you do after this? Like, the norms have already been broken.
Yeah, I think you have to do what you can to hold all the prior Republicans accountable to the maximal extent possible. This idea of, like, we need to forgive and move on.
What does that mean? I'm sorry, what does that mean?
It means whatever is chargeable for anybody, bring back all the Trump lawsuits, the Mar-a-Lago stuff, the Jan 6 stuff, and then indict as many people that have been involved in as many, like, illegal schemes as possible. I would argue, I don't know, there's a stupid Latin term for this, like you can't criminalize past behavior, but it feels like anything involved with like the fucking Trump coin and the Melania coin, this is just insane to me.
Yeah.
Every single Hatch Act violation, every single one of those motherfuckers should be prosecuted using the military to support your, all of that, whatever they can charge, that needs to be like down the fucking line. That would be a start. But yeah, with some, we can't like walk away from this and just say like, oh, you know, everything's going to be normal in the future because Republicans will act the same way if they have the opportunity to. So yeah.
I have one last point.
Okay, you've said one last point like three times, so go.
Final point.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll watch your streams and you have like your orbiters. Dude, when you say stay safe, that's such a, like, I feel like it's so weird.
Why?
I don't know why.
Stay
safe. Just, it feels like you're like threatening your orbiters every time I hear that. You're like, oh. Like, whatever, you're talking about, like, Medicare or whatever, and you're like,
maybe
hey.
Maybe I am threatening them.
Stay safe, man. Like, it's every time I hear that, I think you're like...
You're just a paranoid... How old are you?
18.
Jesus. So you're a paranoid college kid, okay? When you become an adult, you appreciate the stay safe and I love you, okay?
No.
So,
it's
have
just
fun.
Weird. It's a, like, say
it's
goodbye or, like, love you, bud. Like, I don't know.
Thanks for coming.
Have some more love in your heart, man.
I have so much love.
All right.
Stay safe,
man,
okay? Especially you.
How's it going?
Hey, what's up, what's up?
Hey, so I follow you. I was looking at your reels, and I saw you talking or debating, I guess, this guy about Israel Hamas, and he was talking about how, like, it's really good and, like, it's actually beneficial to call Hamas, or sorry, to call Israel a, like, to call the situation a genocide, and you kind of started, like, personally attacking him, saying that he did not care about the deaths of all the Palestinians, and I'm wondering, like, how can you, like, do that, you know what I'm saying? And like,
why is
calling it a genocide bad?
Well, I mean, I would argue that the definitions are important for what you call things, right?
Sure.
I think that it's important to protect certain definitions of things. The reason why I tend to flip that is because people seem to have this like all or nothing stance on like, you either think it's a genocide or you support the indiscriminate killing of every single Palestinian citizen.
Got it.
And I feel like the obsession with the term genocide, like all, it feels like all of Israel-Palestine is this like esoteric debate on terms like apartheid and genocide and everything else. And it's like, well, what the fuck are we going to do? And now that we've gotten whatever the 27th special rapporteur in the UN
saying
like, I don't think we've gotten any closer to solving anything. We've got a ceasefire now, but like in terms of reaching a permanent agreement or status between Israel and Palestine, like that seems further than ever.
Okay, I mean,
so, yeah,
I still don't see how you're answering the question. Like, how is it, like, if all the international communities are calling it a genocide, how do you, like, how can you disagree with that?
Well, so the most important body would be the ICJ, which they haven't issued their ruling yet. I mean, if they say it's a genocide, then I might disagree. But I mean, if they say it's a genocide, then they would.
I mean,
call it a genocide.
Like, how can you just say that you disagree? Like, this is a community of people who has like dedicated their lives to studying definitions and like seeing. Like,
I think. Well,
the
I
numbers.
Would say because the
how
ICJ has already
just...
messed up several things in regards to some of the writings that they've done relating to the case with Gaza. But in my mind, like when I'm thinking of genocide, the special intent of genocide to eliminate a group of people in whole or in part.
Okay, sure.
It's hard to say that. Here's the big question that I feel like is hard for people to address. Is it like, what's the difference between like a genocide and like a pretty bad one-sided war? And I feel like for anybody, it's basically just like if there's like a war where one side seems like to have a lot more power than the other. Then that's like always a genocide. That's what it feels like to me.
I mean, okay, I would argue that like the opinion of this international community is a lot like more valid than I would say yours. And so that's why I would say I would like categorize it as a genocide. But I would also say like that.
Well, just to be clear, if you want to classify it as a genocide, because they'll say that's fine. I'm not going to fight with anybody.
Okay, yeah, sure. But sure. I guess can we go back to like my guess initial question? How does not calling it a genocide like harm it, like the cause? Because I mean, in the video, you were saying that calling it a genocide does absolutely nothing. And I would say that is just not true. I feel like calling it a genocide raises awareness. And you were saying it does nothing because the squo is bad. So why would...
Because it doesn't... Because the people that are pushing to call it a genocide have nothing to do past that. They just say it's a genocide and that's it.
I mean, that's not true at all. I would disagree with that.
What are the solutions that have been offered by the pro-genocide
I mean,
crowd?
I think calling it a genocide can raise awareness. Raising awareness can have people, like private donors, donate and actually like give food to starving Palestinians. I would say that's one. Two, I would say putting like pressure on like political regimes is also going to help with that. I would also... Yeah, I mean, okay. I think that calling it a genocide can raise awareness, and awareness is always good. What do you... Like, I guess, let's reword this. What does calling Trump a fascist do? I agree, but what does calling Trump a fascist do?
I mean, I don't think it necessarily does much on its own.
So then why are you here?
Because I don't just call him a fascist. I've got a ton of prescriptions past it, and I got a ton of good reasons to say he is a fascist.
Okay,
but if somebody
I mean,
wants to say, like, well, I don't necessarily think he's a fascist, but I agree with you and everything else, then I would just say, like, okay, fine, and that would be it.
Like, wait, same thing. Like, say that again.
What if somebody were to say, like, well, I don't know if I would say that Trump is a fascist, but I do agree with, like, your prescriptions, and I think everything he's done is bad. Yeah. Then it's like, oh, okay, sure, but then I would, yeah, I wouldn't care. If somebody for Israel Palestine is like, well, you know, like, I think it is a genocide. I guess you, I understand you think it's not a genocide, but like, do we agree, like, on all these things that should be done? I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, but like, that's never it. It's
I
like,
still
it's
think
like
calling it a genocide is like the extreme, not the extreme, sorry, but that is like a word that would, like, raise a lot of awareness. Do you know what I'm saying?
What have we gotten,
like,
for it? What have the Palestinians gotten for it?
I don't know, like, $3 billion of, like, funding to, like, like,
they were already the highest aid recipients in the world prior to October 7th. Like, who cares? It's not about
who
money.
Cares?
It's about solving...
I mean,
yeah,
I
who
think
cares?
It's
not about money.
About...
It's about solving the actual issue.
I think it's a lot about money, I would say. I would say that...
It's not. It's about having a country. It's about having a state. It's about having dignity. It's about being able to walk to a place without going through some Israeli checkpoint. Or it's about being able to enter or leave a country to have a country to call your own. It's not just about getting aid money.
All right, wait, so, okay, can you, like, go back? I guess, what's your, like, overall view on this issue? I've heard some things, but
that
I don't know what's
actually. That there has to be some permanent final status between Israel and Palestine where they make a final territorial sovereign settlement between the two entities. A Palestinian state needs to be created somehow, should probably resemble something close to the 67 borders, and they should have their own sovereign government that's not permanently blockaded or, you know, barred from having a military or whatever else Israel wants to do like they do right now, basically, with the West Bank, the Gaza Strip.
All right, yeah, sure. And you don't think that, like categorizing this as a genocide will help at all?
Personally, I don't. I mean, if the people calling it a genocide wanted to push for something else on the back of that, maybe. Like, if there were a bunch of people like, it's a genocide, and that's why we need to do X, Y, Z, it's like, okay, sure, maybe. But I don't really hear anything from that crowd ever. They're just, like, really obsessed with the term, it seems.
I don't know. I just think, I don't know. I guess so. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate the combo.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Quick question. My name's Elias. For your consent, is it okay if I record this conversation?
Go for it, yeah.
All right, sounds good. So I just wanted to go back to, I guess, like, a political party discussion. So I lean conservatively, but I wouldn't consider myself, like a MAGA. I think there's, like, a... Would you say there's, like, a fine line between conservative and MAGA? Like, differences?
Depends. Do you think that Kamala Harris would have been doing a better job at this point than Trump?
Honestly, I would say the same.
Okay,
I wouldn't
so
say
I
better.
You're hardcore MAGA, then, yes.
I'm hardcore MAGA?
Yes, 100%.
All right. All right, my next question would probably be, fuck, now you got me stumbling my thoughts. Do you think, political party-wise, we should have more support for more than just Democratic or Republican? Do you think we should have more expression for, like, you know, like that in-between gray area? I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
I feel like in primaries, you can have a lot of different candidates. Like, you know, Ossoff and Warnock are, you know, quite different than, you know, like... senators from California or New York, or, you know, like AOC is much further to the left than, you know, your purple Dems in House seats.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like primaries have a healthy level of different political positions expressed. I don't know if our Congress is necessarily built for, like, a multi-party parliamentarian system or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people like it. I don't think it would solve as many problems as people say that it would. You get, you know, issues with coalition governments where small parties have a huge amount of power because they're needed to form a government. So I just don't have strong opinions on it, I guess. I don't feel like if it were to change, or if, like, somebody were to snap their fingers and change it, I don't know if I'd care that much one way or another.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I'd probably agree with the same thing. Another question I'd have to ask you, it's about Zoran. Do you think he would help? I would say he would definitely be better than Cuomo. Cuomo was fucking horrible. In terms of Zoran, because most likely I do think he's going to be elected, unfortunately. What are your three biggest problems with him as just, like, a candidate or as, like, mayor of New York City? Like, where do you see?
I mean, I'm generally a pretty capitalist guy, so I don't like a lot of, like, price control-y stuff, which I think he's kind of big in favor of. Other than that, I don't know too much on his, like, policies. It feels like kind of like the standard, like, very far left progressive platform. But the thing is, at the very least, like, progressives and people on the left will stay within the bounds of government. So I'm not worried about him, like, hijacking the system.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know too many other particular. I think him saying, like, he would arrest Netanyahu if he came to New York City is a little bit cringe, but also kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then my only other criticism is I think he should be way more Muslim, just because it triggers the fuck out of conservatives so much. Like, I think he should show up in fucking whatever garb and just because I just think it's really funny.
Just like rage beat, essentially.
But, yeah, basically, I think so. I think it's funny. But
yeah, for sure. And then another question I have to ask you. In terms of, like, a Democratic candidate, I don't know too much about who's going to be running for Republican or Democrat for 2020 election. I know J.D. Vance is probably going to be the favorite for the Republican side. Who would you want to see run for a Democratic candidate for presidency in 2028, and why?
I don't even think about it. It's just so far away. 3 years. We haven't gone through a year of this.
I know. It's crazy to think about, because it's only been 1 year of Trump, and a lot of stuff has already been going on.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see a candidate. Like, I think Gavin Newsom is doing a good job right now at being like a Democrat that is like unashamedly Democrat and has like strong values as a Democrat and stands for something rather than just being oppositional and is not getting, you know, joined around by all the stupid conservative talking points. So more of that type of behavior,
like leftist centrist, you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a center left Democrat, so yeah.
Like, I like to say I'm like conservative, middle ground centrist. I don't like to say centrist though, because when I tell people I'm like more centrist, they're like, "Oh, you just hate our side now."
Sure.
And you're not really in because like people have that argument: if you're a centrist, you're not in support of either side, therefore you're the opposition. I don't really think that.
Okay.
I would disagree of Gavin Newsom being a good candidate. I think in his way of being a governor for California, he hasn't really been doing a good job.
I mean, is that true? California's like one of the most prosperous states in the United States. Like, they've had tremendous growth, obviously related to tech and AI and everything else. I know it's said over and over again. You know what? Actually, I bet Gavin Newsom is doing a great job. And you know why I bet this? Is because Joe Rogan is too much of a fucking pussy, ape fuck, to actually have him on a show. So I think if he was actually fucking up California as much as he was, I think Joe Rogan would actually invite him on. And the fact that he's not makes me think he's probably doing a pretty good
job.
Honestly,
I have to agree with that, yeah. The fact he hasn't invited, I mean...
And he talks shit about him all the time, too, and he won't, so, you know. And this guy will have any conservative dick suck on his fucking show, so I don't understand why he won't have... I don't know why I won't have Gavin Newsom. Well, I know why. It's because he's scared. Yeah. I hate Joe Rogan.
And then, do you hate Joe Rogan that much?
Yeah, of course. What do you mean?
Do you hate Joe Rogan more than Donald Trump?
I don't know. That's like me saying I hate my mom because she took my candy. And like, would you hate your mom more than Hitler? It's like, I don't. More than Donald Trump? I don't know. No, I probably hate Donald Trump more. But I don't like all these like weird, lay centrist, epic guys who have like enabled him so much, and he goes onto their shows and he gives them the most softball interview questions imaginable, and then he's like super harsh against everyone on the left, and he does this like both sides equivocation so much. I've heard him say so many times on his fucking show, you know, this like all the conspiracy theories in 2020 ended up being right. I was like, no, all of them, literally all of them were wrong. And he has like these flat earther dudes on that don't believe in dinosaurs. He's got Candace Owens on who doesn't believe we went to the moon. He's got Matt Walsh on who thinks there's like 20 million trans kids that are taking over school. It's just like it's a circus freak show. I don't know. Yeah, but that's my perspective.
What are your thoughts on Candace Owens, honestly, as a person?
I think Candace Owens is going to be the poster child for uncontrolled schizophrenia in like 2 or 3 years when people realize she's completely lost her fucking mind. Seeing numbers and patterns everywhere, I feel like I'm watching that fucking movie with the math guy. What am I thinking of? A Beautiful Mind? Jesus Christ. She's like standing in the room and it's like, oh, Israel. Macron's wife, huge cock, like it's just fucking 69. It's just crazy. 69. Yeah, I don't know.
Bro. All right, thank you for your time, man. I appreciate you being here. You know, I love open dialogue, so it's a great conversation. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Howdy.
Hi, what's up, buddy?
I'm Sam. I want to remind everybody to go vote tomorrow. But my question is, what do you think of this far-right evangelical takeover of our government? And what do you think the solutions are to this blatant anti-Americanism that they're spitting? Because what is it you said? 14 million Americans are losing their
40 for a snap.
And Lord knows how many children that is.
Yeah, the one issue people need to identify is, like, Republicans never break their promises because they're always redefining words. Like, a promise that they made over and over again is we're not cutting back Medicaid benefits. And they'll still say that they haven't cut back Medicaid benefits. They've just changed the eligibility. Or they we're not getting rid of SNAP or whatever. Like, these are people who should be working anyway. Or we're not starting any new wars. This is just they haven't said special military operation yet like Putin did. But, what do you do about it? The problem is this has been like 30 years in the making on the Republican side. And if you watch politics, like it's just as somebody that grew up listening to Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh, it's very funny to hear conservatives say, you guys called us Nazis, so what do you expect? And it's like, you guys have been calling us commies and socialists forever. Like, what do you mean? Back when communism was like the worst thing you could call somebody. So whatever is like going to be done, it has to be like an unwinding process. It's going to take some time. There needs to be like a strong reformation of like the whole conservative apparatus. Like if you're a never Trumper conservative, you know, your like political career is destroyed. Watching the there's a documentary movie called The Last Republican about Adam Kinzinger. It's a really, really good movie. I highly recommend it for anybody who hasn't watched it. And following his like just total like, you know, Liz Cheney, like the political eliminations of these people once they come out as never Trumpers, or like your content creators. I always fuck his name, but Brad Palumbo. Yeah, like finding these guys that are like conservatives but don't become liberal or don't have to like eventually acquiesce to all the Trump stuff is very difficult. It's very hard to live in that environment. So, yeah, it's going to have to be like a whole reformation of that side of things.
But I think I really agree with that. The Christian church in the United States, as it is like more of a propaganda apparatus than it is anything else.
Yeah.
And I hear people coming up here talking about Jesus and all that, and like then very much skirting all of your points about them cutting the SNAP benefits. And I just think it's despicable.
But, yeah, it feels like religion is a thing you practice in your house of worship, and then as soon as you leave, you know, you're gone for 7 days, and so you come back next Sunday, and it's very disappointing to me that somehow that doesn't, you know, filter out into the actual decisions they make with regards to governance. Like, that's crazy to me, yeah.
But I appreciate your time.
Cool, thanks, I appreciate it. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I guess my question to you is kind of about the abundant swing of the party and, like, the idea that, like, how do you have faith in these like center-left Democrats to actually get anything done? I feel like
they're the only ones that have gotten anything done. I feel like they're the ones that have done like the most work for the country, but they're like just basically there's no gratefulness, there's no appreciation. Like Biden passed so much like massive groundbreaking legislation, like the infrastructure bill that Trump wanted to pass for 4 years and couldn't. Like Biden was able to get done. Like the largest investments in green energy, a lot of that have been cut back now because Trump is obsessed with coal fire plants for some reason. You know, came under Biden or the American. Was it the rescue plan or the big like stimulus and the big like all of the money that went out to like the state and city governments and everything at the end? Like Biden did so much and there's just like nothing said about it because he's not tweeting enough.
I mean, my question then would be like, what did that actually amount to now? Like, you can do all these great things, but if when it counts, you choke. Then,
well, when you say choke, the thing that he choked was he just didn't tweet enough because apparently Americans are their entire political outlook is just shaped by what they see on Twitter and Instagram. Like when you've got people. You know, not to dog anybody, but like when people are in Pennsylvania are telling you that like illegal immigration is their, you know, most important voting thing, it's like bullshit. What the fuck? There's no way this is the most important thing in your life that, you know, fucking Miguel is down at the immigration office like stealing your job in Michigan or in Pennsylvania or in some way. Like, I don't believe this. I mean, and then the fact that when Trump comes up, he talks about all these things, right? Like, what are the big issues? Well, crime was one of the biggest issues, and I've solved it in 4 cities. Like, no, you didn't. Or, like, illegal immigration is the biggest issue, and he went from 10 million illegals to 25 million, and are they all still here? Like, or when drag queens were supposedly transing all of our kids. Like, these issues are, like, so huge, and then they go away instantly, which makes me wonder, like, were they ever issues at all? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, what's it called? He has an ability to make these people feel as though they're being solved or, like, handled in a way. Like, even if it's bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. His voters believe that he's doing something. And the idea that, like, Biden could pass all this legislation but, like, never get the people to believe it is, like, a failure on his part. Like, and also, you can see this with, like, other candidates that are running now. Like, whether that be, like, Zohran or, like, Omar Fateh or, like, any other, like, more progressive voices in the party. Like, they're actually able to inspire this, like, belief and, like, positive thinking in a way that, like, Biden, Harris, Clinton, like, all the other people can. So I don't
yeah, I mean,
know
I agree. There's definitely there's an issue there. But, like, Trump can't do it either. It seems like he can. But the reason why Trump can do it is because every other part of his Republican apparatus is helping him. Like, when Trump says a lie, Mike Johnson is on every media network helping to sell that lie. Everybody on Fox News is also supporting that lie. Every single alternative media guy on Twitter is supporting that lie.
But that wasn't always the case, though. Like, we can go back to, like, 2015, 2016, right?
It was.
No, it was not.
In 2015, 2016, when he was first running, he definitely had to fight against,
yeah, and then,
know,
he, then he won. So, like, why can't, like, these, like, creatures of, like, the Senate and, like, our government, like, learn how to do that after being in office for, like, 40 years?
Because I think that it's, like, because Democrats are trying to govern the country, and Republicans just think everything is an epic meme.
Yeah, like, but the way you govern the country is by winning that, like, meme war there. And, like,
yeah,
these
well,
people
I know.
Are
the
capable
Democrats,
of doing that.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Democrats have to figure their messaging out better. But, like, we just need to understand what that means. It doesn't just mean the politicians. The Republicans have their entire... Are you familiar with, like, Dominion and everything that happened with this?
What, like, energy? Or, oh, no, the voting system.
So, right. The voting system.
I will say, I have watched, like, all your stuff on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, then you are familiar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for people that don't know, right? Like, so, there was a lie that was spread by Donald Trump's campaign, by Sidney Powell and all these other degenerate fucks, that Dominion voting systems were rigging elections, okay? And all of those things that were lies, Trump's campaign knew they were lies. He took them to Fox News and told them to spread this information. The Fox News brain room, they called it, the fact check room, they knew that they were lies. And they were complicit in it. They spread all of this, right? And then meanwhile, Jake Tapper is still publishing books about how Biden is senile. I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, okay, I understand that. Like, my thing, though, with, like, Biden is, like, I think part of the reason why we're in the situation we're in right now is because, like, when it came to, like, actually, like, punishing, like, the Trump admin and, like, all these people who, like, try to, like, overthrow our country, you did, like, jack shit. You, like, decided to, like, appoint Merrick Garland, where he, like, wasted, like, 2 years of your time.
Don't
doing all this.
Talk to me about it. You're not going to find Merrick Garland defender here.
Okay? I
agree with you 100%.
I'm just saying that the buck stops with, like, Biden.
Well, yeah, no, the issue,
and, like,
I agree with this. So the issue is that, like, Democrats have to, this is a hard thing for everybody to learn because nobody's used to operating in this environment because we're humans and we trust each other. It's hard to operate in an environment and to truly accept that there is no civility on the other side. And Democrats keep having this idea of, like, okay, well, maybe if we, like, Merrick Garland is going to take some time and do everything right and we're going to be nice, we're going to restore faith in our institutions. There's no fucking faith in these institutions. Institutions. Like, there should have been there should have been a special counsel, like, on fucking day zero.
The idea that like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley can, like, walk around free in this country to me is, like, insane.
And Mike Johnson and Comer and these guys are they're actual demons.
But
it's crazy to
my
me.
Issue
yeah.
there is the fact that, like, the people that you're supporting, like these Gavin Newsoms, these, like, Ezra Klein, like, did you go see the conversation between, like, Ezra Klein and Ta-Nehisi Coates to happen after Kirk's death?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was after the Ben Shapiro talk. I did one, yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? I don't know. I watched that, and just, like, Klein comes off as one of the most, like, tone-deaf, like,
That's me, like, 2 years ago, yeah. Because you don't want to believe.
Like, he's the one who wrote the Book of Abundance that, like, all these people are, like, seeing as, like, their new, like, Bible when it comes to, like,
I understand, but
politics.
Abundance is about, like, government funding and, like, how we do projects and stuff, I think, right? More so than, like, how do you...
I mean, it's part of, like, a broader, like, ideology of, like, like, it's like this race to, like, the center to, like, try and get, like, this imaginary, like, swing voter that doesn't exist and hasn't existed for, like, 20 years.
Possibly, yeah. Do you know, like, in Europe, I feel like in Europe there's this phenomenon happening right now where they keep saying, like, we need to lead ourselves and, you know, we can't rely on NATO or the U.S. But it feels to me, when I look at, like, how the European countries are functioning, they're all just kind of, like, praying that America wakes up and they're like, okay, we're not actually going to do this. Thank God that you guys are back. Like, can you, like, handle our shit again? I feel like in America, it still feels like a lot of left-wing politicians and thought leaders and political people are, like, hoping that the Republicans will come back to reality. And it is very difficult to accept that, like, these people when I say no values, I mean, like, Trump could say or do anything tomorrow and the Republicans will fall in line. And to function in that environment is very difficult because you basically have to, on your own, start pushing for things that, one, all the conservatives are going to call you unhinged for, and then two, all the other liberals are going to call you unhinged for it. And you're like, okay, fuck, like, what do we do? Like, the conservatives are the biggest, like snowflake victim complex people in the world while they're doing the worst possible things ever.
I'll agree that, like, the conservatives are, like, bitch shit, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I'll say, like, the people in the party who are, like, having, like, this, like, delusional, like, hope and, like, belief that these Republicans will come back to normal are the center left Democrats, right? Like, the people's, like, the AOCs, the Bernies, the Zorans, right? These are the people that are, like, being, like, forceful and, like advocating strongly for these positions, right? Like, it is not, at least I've not seen a person on, like, the center left who's, like, actually, like, doing shit worth a damn.
I mean, they're governing. They're doing stuff. It's just hard to...
I don't agree with that. Like holding on to the status quo when so many people are hurting and like, not actually going for anything more is just, like, a band-aid on a bullet hole. And, like, at that point, don't even do anything to me. Not gonna lie.
Well, what do you mean when you say abandoning? Like, I think they're doing what they can. Like, California has, like, is it Medi-Cal or whatever? They've got, like, their own, like, health insurance kind of, like, program thing. Like, most of our successful states, like, our blue states are the most economically prosperous ones. Like, they're the ones that are doing the most work in terms of carrying the country. Like, these are net benefit states to net, consumer states, like the red states. Like,
don't get me started on red states, because I'll say something, like, unhinged. But,
okay.
Like, my main thing with that is just, like, these people, like, should be our leaders. They should be, like, the people that are, like, fighting against this. And, like, so many of them are, like, kowtowing and, like...
No, it's hard. I agree with you. I the thing I'm trying to point out is that, like...
Like, Schumer's the leader, is essentially, right? The leader of our party,
kind of,
right?
Yeah. Like, this is the issue. You know, people were critical of Kamala for not going on Joe Rogan or doing other podcasts? Here's the thing, okay? If I'm a Republican and I go on and I do anything, it really doesn't matter what I say or what I do. Everybody else will have my back in the Republican Party, no matter what, okay? You can fuck the youngest child. You can say the most racist thing. You can be part of a political group of all these Republican guys who have, like, Nazis chats and everything else, and they will find a way to defend it, okay? This is the Evangelical Party. Okay, was like the home of fucking Andrew Tate. Okay, these guys will defend anything.
Yeah, but why do we care about, like, what the Republicans are doing?
Well, what I'm saying is, because what we're saying is, like, how can the Republicans do it so well and the Democrats seem so weak? If a Democrat goes out and says anything, okay, one, the conservatives are going to be in full bullshit attack mode. Even if you didn't say anything, they're going to come at you for it. But then two, you're also fighting against every single part of your own. Your far left people all fucking hate you. Your center left people are all super critical of you. So what appears to be like, well, why are these candidates so weak? It's because everywhere they go, there are enemies 360 degrees. No, and then it's like, well, why are Republican candidates so strong?
Lane, though. Like, what? The reason why, like, Zoran people are really popular is because they are, like, taking, like, these, like, further, like, left positions and, like, actually sticking to it, right?
Yeah, but Zoran is an outlier. No, Zoran is the first thing that progressives have produced in, like, 12 years.
I mean, AOC's, like, 6 years before that?
Yeah, but she's moderated to the point where most far-left people fucking hate her now.
Well, she's moderated to the point where, like, the, like, online Twitter takies hate her, right? But, like, the vast majority of, like, actually, like, left was, like,
in her
people.
District, yeah, but this is just, like, a plus 45 New York district. Like, that's great, but, like, if AOC didn't win, it would be another Democrat. It's not like this is, like...
Yeah, but it's not like the Democrat before her was, like, any way near her politically either.
Normally, I would agree with you, but it wasn't the person. Technically, didn't she replace like a big leader in the Democratic Party? That's why Pelosi was asking me for one. But no, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, if these progressives were to start to win in purple districts, like if they wanted political power and these far left people wanted this, if they start winning in like purple or red districts, I'd be like, oh, this is like some real political shit. But when the only thing you can do is constantly attack your own party and like your plus 40 districts, like fuck you. Like these are leeches. These are cancers. And I'm not saying Zoran or AOC are like that, because I think AOC is, even Ilhan Omar, I think these people have like improved significantly politically. And Zoran ran his campaign and the Democrats chose Cuomo and that was their fucking fault and now they have to live with that.
But even like the establishment of the party, so like the fact that like the election's tomorrow and like Schumer has not endorsed Zoran, the person who like
didn't Jeffries
Hakeem's did like a few days ago when the primary was like in what, July? Like,
I don't know why. I would have to dig into the reasons. I know these political reasons. Like, I think that you should support the candidate. I think you should. I think once he won the primary, I think you should support the candidate. I think that's generally the right thing to do. I would have to see. I've heard a thing. This is like the only thing that would give me pause. Is that like, if you're like, a lot of far left people like to throw this in centerless plays. They're like, didn't you guys say vote blue no matter who? And it's like, yeah, but you motherfuckers didn't want to do that. So fuck you now, okay? Right? Because a lot of far left people will say, well, if this moderate candidate wins, I'm not voting. Now, the issue is like, these are online people. I think the average voter doesn't feel that way. So like, the impression of like a Bernie voter in 2020 or whatever, 2016, or no, like 2020.
Like
2020, 2016, is the idea that like Bernie voters don't vote for, you know, the Hillary or whatever else. Like, that's not true, right? They did. Like 95% of them did. But the messaging is crazy there. I don't know if Schumer or Jeffrey said like why they hadn't endorsed or why it took so long to endorse. I don't know the answer to that. I think they should have.
I think they just asked Matt Asalty, like, that their wing of the party is like taking L's.
Well, being old and white is a hard thing. You'll never understand that pain, so
thank God. All right, but
thanks.
I've been talking for a while, so
okay,
there you go.
Thanks, I appreciate it, man.
Nice meeting you.
Okay.
This is a complete, like, not change of topic, but kind
of
change of
veganism
pace.
Or abortion. Go
no, no, no. It's real simple. I just, you know, he's been hitting with a lot of complicated stuff. But what would you say to like the people on both sides of the aisle today? Like, what, like, obviously everything is tense and such like that. But what would you say to kind of bring us back to be more like the United States, not the divided states of America?
When I did a whole bunch of studying like Israel-Palestine because October 7th happened and that was just the issue that I dug in a lot on. And there was this saying that I learned for Middle East, like Arabs, like a long time ago, this saying for like a lot of like intra-family conflict and stuff and like tribal warfare and everything. And it was like me against my brother and I against my cousin, and then my cousin and I against the world. And one of the reasons why Islam was so successful in building the early caliphates and uniting so much of, you know, like these different families and tribes across these family lines in the Middle East was because they found a way to make a bigger family. I think it's called the Ummah, I think, in Islam, versus the non-Muslim people. One thing, when I think of that, when I look at America today, I feel like I don't think that we have any concept of us against the world or us against any problem anymore. I think that everything has become like hyper partisan, such that like if we got like if 9/11 happened today, I don't know what I feel like we would just immediately descend into civil war. Like I feel like we're at like the highest risk of like terrorist attack to destroy this country that we've ever been in before, because we just have we're not united on solving any problem. We don't even agree on what our problems are. Every single problem is a conspiracy. every single issue is like some deep state government body, some anti-vaxxer, some whatever. It's just like we're incapable of approaching anything. And I think one of the saddest things, especially growing up, my mom and dad are riding Dimaga now, but like growing up, I would always hear like all these great things that America does for the rest of the world, like the Reagan, Gorbachev, tear down this wall, and the beacon of shining light of democracy, and you know, even for all the faults America might have, and even college students say we have, like America led the world in social issues, like we were really big on for pushing for rights for trans people and gay people and everything, and like we're very progressive like that socially. Like America did so much cool good stuff to be like a role model for so much of the rest of the world, providing security for a stable Europe after the fall of the Soviet Union, so much stuff, and now we're just like. When I heard about cool things in America, I could never imagine somebody saying, like, and this is when America finally was awesome by kicking out all the brown people to El Salvador. It's like, damn, that's like a harsh thing to read, right? Like, for the inscription on the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island and taking in all these immigrants, I've never heard these cruel stories of America. And I wish that we could move away, and unfortunately it sounds partisan, but like, I feel like one of the most disgusting things that exists in our political system today is MAGA celebrates cruelty, and it's just not... I think it's just so destructive and corrosive to who we are as a people. Like, even if we disagree on our problems, like, say illegal immigrants are an issue, it can't be alligator Alcatraz is the way we deal with it. It can't be selling merchandise, capitalizing on their misfortune. Like, even if we do believe somebody's here illegally, and even if we do deport them, like, that's a tragic story from start to finish. Even if you think that they should be deported, right?
Yeah.
I wish that, like, we understood that we did serve an important role in inspiring the world and in being an inspirational country and in having everybody want to come to the United States to learn and study and do everything else. And I wish we could tackle problems together as a citizenry instead of blaming George Soros for creating all of them or just all these crazy conspiracies and everything. Like, yeah, I think that's the saddest thing is that we can't celebrate anything about ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just rambled out. What do you
got? No, you're fine. That's. I mean, you're here to speak, so let you speak. I didn't really have any other question, but maybe, I don't know if you're allowed to say it, but like if you could choose, who would you want to see on the 2028 ballot?
Why didn't I be allowed to say it?
I don't know. Someone said you might not be allowed to since this is
true. Netanyahu, because I'm Jewish. No, I'm just kidding. It's hard to think that far out. Like, I like Gavin Newsom now, but I don't know where he'll be in 3 years. Mm-hmm. I would have to take like a critical look at his governance in California to see, like, do I think this is like a super qualified guy? I'm not sure. I personally like Pete Buttigieg, but I know there's a lot of people that don't like him for different reasons, and I don't know if he could be like a presidential kind of person. Mm-hmm. There's so many 3 years from now.
Yeah.
We're trying to survive the fucking midterms right now. So yeah,
I get that. Yeah. All right. You have a great day.
Cool, thanks.
All right, so I got a couple, but I'm going to make them really fast. So I don't know if anybody's brought this up, but do you think the Epstein files are ever going to be released? Or at least within the next, 4 years, 3 years?
I have the most unpopular take ever that everyone hates about me for this.
Really?
There is no client list. There is no black book. All of the Epstein shit is bullshit. The guy raped kids and had young girls coming to his place to do shit that he shouldn't have, and he fell for it, and he should have, but that's it. The idea that there's some client list or book, there's no evidence to support this. There's never been evidence to support this. Nobody's ever turned up anything. Everybody's obsessed with this idea that once you make a certain amount of money, you get high enough politically, you all of a sudden become indicted into some like child fucking cult. I don't think there's any evidence for it. So yeah, I will support, however, people pushing on the Epstein files over and over again because these Republican fuckers like overhyped the fuck out of this for years. So you know, I think they should reap what they sow. I don't think there is actually like a black book or a client list or anything else. Yeah.
I think this is going to make you happy, but I think I low-key agree with you. But one thing is like, depending on what you mean by like a client list, because I agree that there's like, the black book that has like the names of like, I don't know, this guy did this, this guy did that and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's like, that's a thing either, but like, you know, we have like the flight logs, we know who was there.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they and don't quote me on this, but like they have like however many gigabytes, like 300 something gigabytes worth of like video footage, because he like what's it called, he put like cameras in every single one of the rooms, especially the rooms that like they were like doing bad stuff in.
Sure.
So I figure like instead of like explicitly a client list, it's like here's all the evidence and we can like implicate people, we could like see who did it. So
the issue with this, I'm taking the boring legal cuck route, okay? But the issue with this is the hope is that your investigative bodies have gone through the evidence and they've charged where they thought they could charge crimes and they've investigated what they feel like they need to investigate. The problem with releasing all the info that you get from investigations after you've not charged crimes is that the police have the ability to gain access to information that they shouldn't have access to otherwise for the purpose of indicting people with crimes.
Do you mean like in terms of a warrant?
Yes. Yeah, okay. To subpoena things, to get warrants or whatever, right?
Right.
The last thing that I would want is for somebody to just start publishing a bunch of information that they got as a result of, like, subpoenaing people or doing, like, criminal investigations and stuff where right. you haven't done anything wrong, but, like, it kind of, like, looks bad, right? Like,
okay.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that went through the Epstein Island stuff or whatever that didn't know about the weird kid stuff or whatever. But now, like, if you're associated with that, now you're, like, king fucked. And it's like, well, what are you going to do? Go out in public and say, listen, guys, I might have been, you know, at, you know, Kitty Rape Island, but I wasn't one of the people that were, you know, touching kids. Like, yeah, that just sucks. You don't ever want to be in that position.
Right, but you also, like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but,
yeah,
like,
go.
You also got to, like, know that people are, like, touching kids. So, like, maybe they're continuing doing it. Because I don't think, like, Epstein's, like, stuff, like, there's something specific I mean by it, but, like, Epstein stuff is over, as in, like, we're not, they're, like, not done trafficking people. And stuff like I think, like,
I mean, like, I mean, it's not like Elaine had anything else to say, or she hasn't given anybody else up, and I don't know, it just feels like
Elaine is like also in prison, so I don't, or now she's like in a country club,
sure.
But like, what's it called? She's not gonna say anything because it's not only if it's like gonna help her case.
Well, I mean,
so,
I imagine it would, right? They probably give her some kind of deal if she were to turn over more people, right?
I mean, yeah, didn't they also have, they had like a deal with her that was like 9 hours, like a I don't know about a deal or something, but that's, like, the reason that she went to the country club
The Trump admin did a whole, like, deposition-type thing with her where they had, yeah, they had a whole talk to find out if there's anything more they could get, but there was nothing, so.
Okay, yeah. That, yeah. So, I don't know. I think this is just, like, we're going to, like, disagree just in terms of values, because, like, I think that, like, we need to get, like, the pedos off the, like, not even off the street.
Off
but
the
just,
islands,
like,
right?
Yeah, yeah, like, off the off the islands. And I'm pretty sure Epstein had, like, another place that was, like, inside of a desert or something. Like, he owned some property or whatnot. But I think that's more important than, like, oh, man, like, it's going to make, like, little Jimmy over here look bad because he accidentally went to the island or something. Like, I don't.
Maybe. I mean, like,
get,
it's just the precedent
just
is weird. The precedent is weird because now it's like, let's say, like, do we just start investigations on people? And if we don't find anything, we just publish all the information afterwards? Because now you can, like, politically assassinate anybody, which the Trump admin would do, by the way, if they had the ability to. And they're kind of doing that now. Like, I think that's a bad precedent. But in
yeah.
the Epstein thing, I'm lukewarm to it just because, or I'm amenable to it just because they made such mm-hmm. a big deal about it. So fuck them. They can lay on the bed they made. But, you know.
That's really interesting. Wait, you say, like, that like the Trump admin's like assassinating people?
No,
assassinating?
Character assassinating, political assassinating.
Oh,
sorry, when
okay.
I said political assassinating, I mean like character assassinating. Yeah.
Okay, not like actual legitimate.
No, that'll be at least like year three. Yeah.
Okay. yeah, that makes sense. Do you think? Well, it's on terms of assassination. Do you think that like the Charlie Kirk assassination was like a big conspiracy, or do you think it's just like a one-off case?
I don't know. That's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing was, like, if you read, like, the Discord logs, the text messages, like, the Discord logs from this guy's Discord chat, the text message between him and his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
Everything is, like, so aggressively normal.
Right.
Like nothing seemed that crazy or out of place anywhere. The most, like, the biggest evidence that we have for, like, radicalization was his mom said, like, oh, he's been, like, getting far left on some social issues. But his mom is MAGA,
mm-hmm.
so who the fuck knows what she thinks far left is. He might
sure.
just think gay people should be allowed to be married.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't. That's just a really weird... But the issue is that, like a kind of like a half fear... I don't even know. Like, if you're assassinating people,
right.
That's not good. And
of
the
course.
Law book should be thrown at you as much as possible.
Of course.
Like, that Luigi dude should go down hardcore. And I'm going to... Every progressive that cries when that dude gets assassinated, fuck you, okay? But also, like, this guy, you know, assuming this is a guy that shot and killed Charlie Kirk, you can't just fucking assassinate people. That's crazy. You should
yeah.
also fall in the same way.
That's absurd.
I'm worried... That there's like some world where this guy walks because of how unbelievably clusterfucked Kash Patel and the rest of the Bozo circus treated this whole issue when he tweeted out that they initially caught the suspect and they didn't. And when everybody was like, all the political narratives and the stories were set. I'm just trying to imagine, like, remember, when you're convicting somebody, especially this is a capital offense, right? I don't know
right.
if they have the death penalty or not.
I actually want to ask you about that in a minute, but
sure. Well, I'm
sure.
just saying, like, imagine you're in front of a jury, and all you have to do is create a reasonable doubt, and it's like, well, you know, maybe we saw a guy run from the roof, but like, do you know this is the guy? Like, Kash
mm-hmm.
Patel, the leader of the FBI, they said they'd already caught him beforehand. Like, who were they talking about? Why did
yeah.
they misspeak? Like, they are the whole state apparatus is invested in this guy being the one who shot and killed him. But where's the evidence for that? They said he was radical left. Where, like, if you could get, you just have to have a reasonable doubt. That's
yeah.
it. And it's like, they fucked the investigation and everything up so much. I don't know. That's scary to me. But
no,
yeah.
yeah.
You shouldn't. Nobody. I don't support any political assassinations in the United States. So it's not good. Not
okay,
good.
Yeah. I fully agree with that. Like, we need to stop being violent. Like,
yeah.
I, I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere like a, I don't know, really long time ago, like you on streams or no, it was there was a journalist that you were talking to that's like where we shouldn't be like bipartisan or something like that, and we shouldn't like both sides stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think his name was Jen, I think, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
But like in terms of both sides, like I think it actually is like a both sides issue in terms of like political violence, because I have been attacked for political violence, and like I can't talk too much about it because the case is ongoing.
Sure.
But
when I say both sides, don't both sides it. What I'm saying is that like the far right, I shouldn't say far right. Like the political leadership on the right seems to welcome it, and all of the large like messaging people on the right seem to be pretty okay with it on the right. And
right.
Then on the left, like the lawmakers and everybody else, the political leadership all seem to be in lockstep in disavowing mm-hmm. violence. Now you can find like far left crazy people who are unfortunately louder than they should be online.
Sure.
Who will support it. And I'm sure that trickles down to, you know, like people, but like, I can't speak to your situation,
yeah.
But like, there are people out there that are committing political violence because they think mm-hmm. that for Trump and MAGA they have to, or QAnon or Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever, right? They have to do these things.
Scary.
Nobody, yeah. I don't know your situation, but I
right.
seriously doubt whoever attacked you was like, I'm doing this for Joe Biden. Right?
Oh, like, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's no always idea. Like way more radical shit. So I think that's a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't want to like talk too much about
sure,
the
yeah.
case for like legal reasons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But. Actually, I wanted to know what you said about death penalty, because you mentioned that a second ago. But are you, like, pro, anti-death penalty?
I don't have
penalty?
Strong. I'm, like, 51-49 pro-death penalty, but I don't have, like, a super strong opinion on it. Sorry.
Well, I'm anti-death penalty. And the reason, I want to know what you think about this. The reason is because, like, death, like, as a concept is permanent, right? Like, you don't get, like, revived or anything.
Yeah.
So I think, like, in terms of, like, proving a case, you can't 100% prove anything. So we shouldn't have a punishment that's, like, 100%, because... I don't know, the day after, like, they kill the person or, like, they put them to death is, like, oh, man, this, like, new evidence came out that, like, they didn't actually do it. So, like, what are your
sure.
thoughts about that?
I mean, but the problem is that, like, the same thing can theoretically happen with life in prison, too, right?
Right.
Like, you might convict somebody, their life in prison. You've got more time to undo it. But, like, let's say they die, and then let's say, like, the year after, it's like, oh, shit, like, here's new evidence. We could have, like, not had them in life in prison, right?
I mean... Life in prison is, like, reversible, though, because, like, I mean...
Well, not if you spend your whole life there and
well,
you die.
You can always, like...
You have more time to. I agree with that. Yeah.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's an argument against it. I've heard that. I don't know. I think maybe this would be a numbers game, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to show me that, like, oh, like, 35%, not even that many, like, 15% of all death penalty convictions get overturned, then I'd be like,
right.
oh, shit, okay, well, maybe that's not good. But if it was, like, less than 1%, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
But, I just know that, like, it's... above like 0% that like innocent people get put to death because
sure.
like they couldn't prove it or they like false confessions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because like every single piece of evidence can technically be forged or can technically be falsified, like false confessions, like forged documents and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even like doctored footage now that like AI stuff is coming out, right?
Sure.
So like I don't think we should have like a punishment that's so 100% so irreversible, because life in prison is reversible, technically speaking.
Yeah.
Right?
That's probably the strongest argument in favor of, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. That's what I just want to know what you think. Also,
sure.
I don't know if I'm allowed to, but could I shake your hand and get a picture?
After this, yeah.
Okay, yeah,
cool.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks a lot.